awesome morning party.
Get ready, gentlemen. Brace yourselves. This is it.
3, 2, 1.
Good morning.
Good morning, Doug.
It's Team Awesome Morning Party. Steve O'Mateo.
Intern Doug.
In the other room.
Yep, he's gearing up.
We do birthdays every day at 6:45 a.m. in case you didn't know. So if you'd like to get a birthday shout-out for a loved one, studio@mystaticradio.com. That's our email address. You can email us anytime with anything.
Also, coming up today, we have Theology Thursday.
Yeah.
Your favorite and mine.
Man, Pastors Jared Petro, Brian Nixon. That's going to be crazy today, man.
It is.
We got a lot of topics to cover, including a brand new TV series that is making some waves. Are they the right waves? I don't know.
We don't know.
We didn't see it.
We ain't seen it. We don't know.
Jared and B-Nix did. So we'll talk about that. We're also going to talk a little bit about, man, some scary things today.
Scary.
Like demon possession.
Oh.
Yeah, that one's going to be tough.
Yeah, it is. Okay, I'm gonna post these topics.
Yeah.
Whoa! Speaking of demon possession.
Skeletor made its way to our
Facebook
page today. Facebook.com/MyStaticRadio. If you don't like us yet, get there. We're bros.
You're missing out.
We wake you up in the morning. We just need a like, yo. Also, that's where we hang out day in and day out. Our question of the day is always posted there. So you can chime in case you don't have time to call in. I'm just saying.
Yeah. Yeah. Come on.
I'm excited. We also, of course, we'll be talking with the Aspen Project today. No more creepy music. Sorry,
creepy
music.
No more creepy.
Aspen Project's not creepy.
Nope.
We've got the Aspen Project coming in this morning. Going to be talking a little bit about that. And actually, I got something exciting to talk about with that today.
What?
Well, I'm not telling you now. Okay, I'll tell you.
Okay.
I was talking to Jack and Luke's coach yesterday.
Oh.
Little League. Yeah.
Oh.
We always talk about how, you know, you can mentor, how you can help out in the life of a child, help imprint Christ on the heart of someone.
Yeah.
Volunteer. Maybe just one way. Paradise Hills Little League, which is, you know, where my kids happen to play Little League.
Yes.
We need help.
Oh.
Yeah. Umpiring some games.
Somebody help them.
Yeah. So... we'll talk about that coming up today as well. I'm hoping our favorite caller calls in.
Me too.
We need some of that this morning.
Bam,
like that coffee that you're sucking down over there.
Ah, thank you, Peter Benson.
I feel like you need to get one of those things that, you know, when people have sleep apnea or whatever and they have to get those, like, oxygen breather thingies?
Yeah.
I feel like you should just get one of those that, like, has a kickstart time of, like, 5
and just starts pumping,
and just starts
coffee,
pumping
into my
coffee into you.
Yeah, I
you
take
drink
that.
More coffee than anyone I know.
I can handle that.
You drink a lot of coffee.
I do. I drink this cup and then I drink what I get from Sopo.
Yeah, so much coffee.
I know.
It's more coffee than anyone I know.
Every
I drink
day.
One cup. So if somebody drinks two, that's a lot.
Have you ever met your wife, Chrissy?
Yeah, that's very true.
Hey, coffee is a necessity in my life. It's been a necessity. I remember being young and both my parents, coffee. And I tried it once. I was like, ugh.
Yeah.
Coffee's the worst.
Yeah.
And I didn't like it for a long time. And so when we started touring, all I did was drink energy drinks. Energy drinks. Every day. Bye, 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 bye. Energy drink. Oh, man. And then it was like, man, energy drinks are crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So I switched. I made the switch. I just couldn't afford them anymore because energy drinks started getting like $3 to $5, you know.
Yeah.
And you're at a truck stop and you're in a band. You can't pop that up for a drink every time. So I just started getting the really cheap coffee and then my life changed.
It's funny how life changes with that because I remember when I was a kid, I hated coffee.
Yeah.
I didn't like the taste of it.
No.
And my mom always drank it. And my mom always had coffee breath.
Yep.
And would want to kiss me. Come here, baby. And I'd be like, oh, I'm never drinking that stuff.
Yeah.
Because it tastes bad and it makes your breath smell weird. And I never ever wanted coffee. Now
you drink it. Well, but you drink an Americano, which is pretty much just espresso and water.
Yeah, that's true.
It's strong,
but it's
not totally coffee.
What are you trying to say, man? I mean, I drink
saying your journey's not over.
Oh.
There's more to come.
Ugh.
Another thing is the journey from going to, because I think when you start with coffee,
yeah,
you start with all the sweet stuff.
Yeah.
And then it's the journey to going straight black coffee like this Joker over here.
Yeah. When I have to drink coffee, I don't always drink coffee, but when I do, it's black.
Yeah.
I used to work at Sopo. Starbucks, sorry.
Yeah.
The fake Sopo.
The fake one.
Yeah, those guys are rip-off artists of Solomon's. I've ever seen one.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah. They just have good marketing.
Also, if you go to Sopo, which you should.
Yeah.
Our friend Annie, she works in there, and she also is the overnight girl.
Yeah, she does overnights here and then starts brewing coffee.
Yep.
So
she's the sweetest.
She just loves being up in weird hours of the night.
Steve-O,
so.
We got a song request.
We did!
Via email.
Okay.
Rochelle says, I haven't heard the Hammer in a while.
Okay.
And today is just one of those days.
Well, I don't know. For those that don't know, Kevin Douglas Hammer, he's a local artist to his area.
He is.
Where does he live?
Is this the good one or is this the second one?
I think this is the second one.
All right, we'll play a little bit of the second one, and I have the other one, so we'll figure it out.
So here's the deal. Locals rule here on Static Radio. We love getting your music. If you're an artist, if you'd like to be a part of Static Radio, you can do so by submitting it to our Locals Rule section at mystaticradio.com. You can put your MP3s, your band bio. Kevin Douglas Hammer did so. He is one of those people. He has become a radio sensation.
He is a sensation in the Albuquerque area.
It is like a YouTube star, but on radio, so it's better.
Yes. You don't mess with a KDH.
People get so amped on Kevin Douglas Hammer. So if you've never joined us for New Music Tuesday, this is some of what you're missing.
This is what you're missing.
We get a lot of great, great music.
We do.
So I'm just saying, if you've never experienced Kevin Douglas Hammer, welcome to the world of KDH. The song's called No More to Roam. Enjoy at least 30 seconds of it.
Long are the days on the sea of the soul.
People who are just joining us are either like really excited right now,
yeah,
or kind of wondering what happened to their favorite.
Let's switch
radio
to this one. This was the other KDH hit.
Oh yeah,
this was the one that rocked the world. It rocked the airwaves.
It really took control of Static Radio and wouldn't let go. So, Kevin Douglas Hammer, everyone.
With him.
Kevin Douglas Hammer. By request.
By request.
I would love to just play this whole song, but I wonder, like, the people who are just joining us going, what is happening?
The station changed again, everybody. Now we're just going to play insanely crazy music.
Oh,
format change.
No!
I declare today format change Thursday!
I can't take it, man. I can't take it. I have good news. The format did not change. But if you're a local artist and you'd like to get your music on Static Radio, I promise we're going to play it at least once. And if it's really good, we'll put it in rotation. If it's really bad, We'll probably still play it randomly because it's awesome.
Randomly.
KDH became like the internet sensation. Started sending us emails because he was getting people who were buying this.
I bought it.
From Albuquerque.
I bought it straight up. It kind of blew us away.
The Kevin Douglas hammer.
You don't mess with the hammer.
You don't.
You don't.
You don't.
Look at Thor.
I know.
That's what Thor says.
I know. Coming up at 6:45, we got birthdays. Get a birthday shout out in now.
Yeah, we got one in the email.
Oh, yeah. Studio@mystaticradio.com.
Oh, look at this. We just got an email. Hammer Time Morning. Thanks, guys.
Hey.
This is from somebody different.
Yes.
See? Kevin Douglas Hammer is kicking it off nicely.
This dude rocks my world.
We're going to have to email him.
We really are.
We need to get an interview with Kevin Douglas Hammer.
Oh, man.
I don't know how I would handle that, though.
All right, we got to take a phone call. Static.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Doing
Can't
great.
Can't complain.
Good, good. Well, what you were just saying literally just happened to me. I changed the station and couldn't figure out what in the world was going on.
You should have known.
I was kind of questioning myself, like, it's not Tuesday. What is going on here?
You should have known that today was going to be the best day of your life.
I know. You're welcome.
You're right. Absolutely.
Yeah. So,
when we play Kevin Douglas Hammer, it's like on that Guardians of the Galaxy poster at the bottom. It just says, you're welcome.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's what we're saying.
That's all we're saying.
Yeah.
Glad we could welcome your morning with some Kevin Douglas Hammer, because he's the man.
You know what, guys? I appreciate it.
Hey, all right.
Your day is going to go really good.
It really is. It's Thursday, man. Just breathe that sigh of relief.
I'll give you guys a call tomorrow with some follow-up on that.
All right, good. We want to hear it, so please follow up on this.
Will do.
All right.
Gentlemen.
All right. Bye. Later. We're going to start getting phone calls. How did KDH change your life?
How did he change your life? we'll send him testimonials.
This is awesome.
Guys, we have a story coming up about Switchfoot getting protested at a concert. Who would protest Switchfoot? That's the question that a bunch of, like, I guess, quote-unquote secular radio stations were asking.
Yeah.
We'll find out.
We'll talk about that. As I mentioned, birthdays at 6:45. Breaking news right around the corner to get you there. It's a culture shock. This one coming from Angels and Airwaves. You want details on culture shock, get to our website, mystaticradio.com. I love this song.
It's a good one.
Let's wake up. It's Thursday.
Wake up and be happy.
Team Awesome Morning Party.
Now.
Static Radio.
Turn on the news.
I have a little news flash.
We interrupt for this breaking news.
Good morning, and now the news with me, Doug. My name is Mateo, not Doug.
You were so close.
I am slightly obsessed with our intern. It's a healthy obsession. Don't you smile, Doug. Don't you smile. Put a frown on that
you
face.
You smile.
Doug frowning.
Doug smiles.
Thank you, Justin.
You're welcome.
Bieber. Radiation from Fukushima is hitting the West Coast.
Oh, well, that's good.
So Thebes, next time we see him, he's going to have three eyes, two beards, and he's going to be completely made up of bacon.
I love it. I don't think he'll complain about that either.
He won't. He'll find a way to love it.
Yeah.
Bacon Radio. Colorado made $3.5 million in pot revenue in January.
Whoa! $3.5 million?
In 1 month.
Okay.
I ain't seen y'all for months. Colorado just made $3.5 million in pot in 1 month.
And then they immediately used that to sign DeMarcus Ware to the Broncos.
Now, oh gosh. Yeah. That's what happened.
That is what happened. Cowboys fans everywhere are crying in their coffee.
Doug is the man. Okay, this is going to be the tipping point. This is where every other state's going to say, they made how much in 1 month?
I don't know, though, man, because I'd also like to look at crime rates. I'd also like to look at, you know what I mean? Like, what other impacts does it have by legalizing a drug that makes you stupid?
I wonder if Colorado's crime rate has gone up.
Their unemployment rate, because everybody's just sitting at home.
Crime
nobody wants to go to work.
Since legalization.
Ooh.
Somebody else has Googled this. A man has been sentenced to 11 years for tricking an investor out of $1 million over a fake deal to promote Justin Abiba.
Oh, Justin. Bieber.
Bieber.
the Bieber. Have you been watching? Have you seen any of the court depositions and all that? Good Lord, that kid.
Yeah, I know.
Man, that kid. And then his lawyer. He's got a good lawyer.
Well, yeah, he's got a bajillion dollars.
I know, but the guy's like, he's pretty much blaming the public for Justin's actions. He's like, you know, how you think this kid's gonna be normal when everywhere he goes, he's got to hire a bodyguard, and he's got people like reaching out to touch him all the time, everywhere he goes. Which is a good point, but at the same time,
man, Justin Timberlake.
Look at Justin Timberlake.
You know what I mean?
He didn't freak out.
That guy is one of the most famous people in the world, and he's got a pseudo good head on his shoulder. I mean, I don't know him personally.
Yeah, sadly, for every Timberlake, there's like 15 Biebers.
That's very true.
And for every 15 Biebers, there's only one Timberlake.
Yeah.
Talking to all you Justins out there, which one are you going to be? Are you going to be a Bieber or are you going to be a Timberlake? Only you can decide. Someone robbed Cuba's Havana Museum of $1.5 million worth of art.
Wow. So one painting?
Yeah. It was one painting. I did it. It's okay. They'll get it back. They'll pay me back. The mayor of Hampton, Florida, a town that has been labeled the most corrupt town in Florida, has resigned from his jail cell where he is awaiting trial for selling oxycodone.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about this.
He resigned from his jail cell.
This was the Sons of Anarchy town in Florida.
I think so. I think it was.
Driving through this world.
All alone. Why'd y'all play that? The FDA has approved an electric headband for migraines.
Really?
Interesting. Science. Huh.
I wish they'd develop something for allergies, man. I woke up this morning.
What would that be? For allergy, like an electric nose ring?
Maybe.
You'd have to get your septum pierced.
Oh, man. When I was a kid, I was on the swim team. Remember those little, like, plug things that you could... You just, like, slid, right?
Yeah.
Maybe that's what it is. It's electric!
Gonna rock down to electric allergy thing.
Televangelist Joel Osteen, everybody on this station's favorite pastor. Houston, that's his mega church. Have you ever seen his church in Houston? I've driven past it.
Yeah, it's
huge.
The old, it's where the Houston Rockets used to play.
Oh, they aren't tense.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've driven past it. Be like, that's a car, that's a church. Televangelist Joel Osteen's Houston megachurch reported that $600,000 disappeared from its safe. Who took it? I don't know who took it, but I do know that the criminal, Joel Osteen's going to smile that cat to death. He's going to smile at him until he goes insane.
Hey, the guy that took it, he just wanted the best him now, you know what I'm saying?
He's going to look into those pearly white teeth of death. He's going to stare into that abyss, and he's just going to go blind with madness.
Yeah.
Joel Osteen has the whitest teeth I have ever seen. Ever. You can say what you want about that man, but his teeth will always be whiter than anything else in this world. Keith Richards is writing a book for kids.
What?
You interested in that?
Yeah, I am.
I wonder what it's going to be about.
Oh, man. What would Keith Richards write a children's book about?
I don't know. Probably Ookie Spooky Dreams. I thought it was funny. If you know the Pirates movies,
they said
that Johnny Depp modeled Jack Sparrow after Keith Richards, and then later Keith Richards was in the movie as his dad.
Yeah, that was great.
Funny. That was funny. Let's talk about a little future science, people.
Mm.
To bring people closer together and provide relief from the cold, Duracell launched a campaign called Moments of Warmth. For this campaign, they set up an interactive bus shelter in Canada that uses the human touch to generate heat. While waiting for the bus, commuters were encouraged to complete a circuit between positive and negative symbols located on both sides of the shelter. The only way to complete the circuit was to work together by joining hands. Once the circuit was completed, the heaters in the shelter would activate, providing commuters with warmth.
Wow.
Nice.
That's pretty great.
They're going to bring people together.
Yeah.
Duracell said, Canada, you're too cold. Not only outside, but in your heart.
And all you got to do is grab that hand.
Just grab it.
Because they want to hold hands. Oh, yeah.
Bill's had this idea a long time ago. Duracell.
Duracell. They've been doing this since a long time.
Yeah. Anyways, moving on.
You probably heard that the World Wide Web turned 25 this week.
Yeah.
Pretty cool. Well, it was 22 years ago that Nathan Borenstein sent his colleagues the world's first email attachment.
Wow.
A picture of his barbershop quartet, the telephone cords. Borenstein, along with another researcher named Ned Fried, wrote the code for attachments because one day he hoped to get pictures of his grandchildren over email. To the delight of grandparents everywhere, his technology became commonplace.
Mm-hmm.
And that is really awesome.
Did he get anything for that?
I don't know.
He created the internet.
He got the joy of having pictures of his kids emailed. Pretty cool.
Yeah, I guess.
The teen girl, a little follow-up, everybody. We talked about a girl that was suing her parents.
Oh, yes.
Well, more has happened.
Okay.
A New Jersey teen who drew international attention when she sued her parents to demand they pay her tuition after she moved out of their house has decided to return home.
Really?
It's unclear if 18-year-old Rachel Canning will continue her legal battle in which she asked her parents to pay her remaining tuition bills at her private high school and her living expenses and to allow her access to a college savings fund set up for her. In court papers, Canning said she had left home in Lincoln Park, New Jersey after her 18th birthday in November because she was emotionally abused and neglected. Her parents argued that their daughter had disciplinary problems at home and school, would not conform to house rules, including curfews and chores. So that's where we're at. She's gone back home.
That is crazy.
That is crazy. Huh. That's an interesting case just because you wonder. I'm glad the judge shut it down, but now I know there's more. You know, there's more to the case because there's something else that they're going to trial about in April. But I wonder if that's changed now because
she's decided to go home.
Yeah, she's just gone.
She's dropping it, maybe.
Because you know, part of it was over a boy. Not just joking. Like she was dating this kid.
Really?
And her parents said they wanted them to break up, and she refused. Kiddos, teens.
Oh wait, what?
You don't have to wrap your lives around some boy or some girl.
Right.
You know, you can live.
Preach it.
And if your parents say, hey, don't date that guy. You know, you might be sad. You might get a little Romeo Juliet thing going on. But more than likely, if your parents are trustworthy, they might even be right.
Mm-hmm.
There were times when I dated girls back in the day, and they broke my little heart. A heart as wide as the Pacific Ocean. The most tender heart known to man. If I was a Care Bear, they would call me Tender Heart Mateo Bear. And that's what I would be called. And I would probably be colored like a deep blue color, representing manhood. But sad manhood.
It's called sadhood.
Sadhood. And I just want you to know that one time my grandmother was like, hey, why are you so upset? And I was like, this girl, I like her. She don't like me back. And she said, hey, don't worry about her. One day, you'll meet somebody, and they're going to be awesome. And you know what? She was right. Because then I met Dawn and realized, wait a second. This girl's better than everything in this world.
Mm-hmm.
I better try to hang out with her. So I did. And we got married. Two weeks later, we got married. No, I'm kidding. I just started heaping terrible advice on all the kids. So if you meet somebody, run away with them, go up to the Sandia Mountains, get married in 2 weeks. Your life will be great.
Oh my gosh, you ruined it.
No, it's okay. Oh, in Sanda City, Japan, there's a candy shop made just for kids. Seriously, just for kids. Just no adults allowed. The Future Sweets Factory is reserved for children ages 12 and under. Both children and adults make their way through an egg-shaped dome, which is the entrance of the shop. After that, parents will wait for their kids in the waiting hall.
Nope.
While the children make their way into the store. Inside, there are figurines of cartoon characters and robots to amuse the children, while they are treated exclusively to all kinds of sweets. After their visit, the children are encouraged to tell their parents about what they have seen in the factory. Chef Susumu Koyama, the shop owner, wants to encourage children to talk to their parents and have parents listen to what their kids have to say.
Huh.
Interesting.
We gotta talk about that.
About the kids in the candy shop.
Yeah,
Yeah, think about it that way, huh? Didn't think about that.
I don't know, man. I saw Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
I seen that movie. I know how. The big one gets sucked into the chocolate river, and the stuck-up girl gets eaten by squirrels or something. Depending on which one you've seen.
I will say the Johnny Depp version is way more accurate to the book.
It is?
Yeah.
I've never read the book.
Oh, what?
No, I'm not going to.
I have Roald Dahl's entire library.
Really?
Yes.
Proud of you.
Yeah, me and the boys, we've read through most of them together.
That's awesome.
So, I'm a fan.
Oh, man. Guys, after a year of watching her waistline expand, a 57-year-old Brazilian woman finally consulted doctors when it hit 52 inches.
That's a lot, right?
That's a big old waistline.
Is that like, so I wear like a 32, that means that's 32 inches around?
I guess
around?
So.
Okay.
You know what was the cause of this?
Huh.
An 88-pound mucus-filled ovarian tumor.
Okay, I gotta go.
Whoa. The woman, who was overweight, had very few other symptoms, just a feeling of heaviness in her stomach. It measured 16.5 inches by 15.7 inches by 11 inches.
Okay, come on.
That is a huge tumor. That's huge.
No, yeah.
Whoa!
Yeah.
After it was removed, the woman underwent chemotherapy because the tumor had shown some signs of early stage cancer. But today she is symptom free.
That's amazing.
Wow. Clap for that.
Okay. Yeah.
That's nuts.
Okay.
Oh,
oh man.
Yeah.
Clapping.
Yeah.
If you are rapidly expanding and a part of your that's crazy to me.
Yeah,
it's all about, but you know, there's that fear of like going to the doctor because you're going to get charged so much money to go in there, and they're going to say, I guess it's a virus. That'll be $3,000. Thank you for visiting.
Yeah, we can't really give you antibiotics. Just, you know, stay off your feet for a few days.
You're just going to have to live. Wait, what's my prescription? Live. Just go out and live. Get some sleep and then live. Okay.
$3,000. Gosh.
CBS has renewed The Big Bang Theory for 3 more seasons. First time it's ever happened in the history of TV.
Yeah, 3 seasons.
3 seasons. They usually just renew shows season to season.
Mm-hmm.
This one, they were like, no, we like you. 3 more seasons. Which is funny because usually actors that are in successful TV shows, they start getting all uppity about their contracts.
Friends.
What, they all wanted like $1 million an episode.
Mm-hmm.
Which, didn't they get it?
I think they did.
I think they got it for at least like a season.
Because they're friends.
That show was huge.
Yeah, it was.
Anyway, everyone, there is more news to report, but we'll get to it later because it's time to transition into birthdays.
Oh, yeah.
Good day, gentlemen.
Good day, Doug!
Welcome to the program.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
It's good to have you, buddy.
Very nice to be here.
Doug, you sound great in the morning.
It's all downhill after this for me.
Oh, it's all downhill from here.
Downhill
it's all downhill from here.
Did you hear about Newfound Glory?
I just saw a leak.
We'll talk about it later.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Terrible news about one of me and Doug's favorite bands.
Really?
Yeah. We'll save it for after birthdays.
Okay.
It's heavy.
Okay.
Yes.
It's heavier than a ovarian tumor that lady got out of her.
It's going to let this play out.
Thank you. That blows my mind.
All right. Well, today, March 13th, 2014.
Yeah!
It is day number 74 of 2014. There are only 293 days remaining this year.
All right.
So if you have any New Year's resolutions you're still kicking around, it might be time to get on that, guys.
No. No.
All right.
No, Doug.
I've had 2.5 months to think about it.
First things first this morning.
All right.
What?
There are some people out here that are going to like this one.
Okay.
Singer-songwriter.
Turn it up
what
a little bit.
This? You got to turn it up. Turn it up, Doug. Strolling along country roads with my baby. Who is this?
It's a Sadak Attack.
What?
Neil Sedaka.
Neil Sedaka.
Sadak Attack.
Wow. Sadak Attack.
Today is his birthday.
Nice.
I've never listened to Neil.
Oh, I feel laughter in the rain.
Wow.
I know this song. Yeah.
Wow.
Who
Hallelujah!
Man, my parents listened to good music when I was growing up.
Neil Sedaka
is... I just caught it.
53.
Oh, Neil Sedaka is 64?
Neil Sedaka is 75.
Dang!
Whoa! We were off by entire decades,
yeah.
Steve.
Yeah, plural for me. That's crazy.
All right. I actually didn't know that either. That kind of threw me off, too.
Yeah.
That's old.
Yeah, that's old. That's old.
Hey, all man. Right. That's old, y'all.
From the Purple Rose of Cairo, ooh. Monk,
ER,
Dick Tracy, and Dirty Rotten Scoundrels.
Wait. ER, Dick Tracy, Dirty Rotten Scoundrels.
I don't know it.
Oh, wait. She played Tess Trueheart in Dick Tracy. Yes. And she was the main female in Dirty Rotten Scoundrels. Oh, my gosh.
I can't remember her.
Dang it. She was Tess Trueheart. I don't know, Doug.
Glenn Headley.
Oh, I can't picture her face right now.
She's the sweet one.
No.
Yeah, she's got the sweet face.
Rejection.
This one with the sweet face.
Rejection.
All right, it's her birthday today.
How old is she?
I think she is...
She was the love interest. She was Dick Tracy's true love.
That's who I thought you were
She's the redhead.
Trueheart.
Tess Trueheart. Breathless Mahoney was Madonna.
Don't talk about Breathless Mahoney.
I can't help it.
Okay. Tess Trueheart today is 57 years old.
Oh, no. No, why? Why is she that old?
It's got to be this way.
Okay, actually, yeah, I was a little kid, so...
Well, Warren Beatty played Dick Tracy.
Yeah,
think about how we saw his
Annette
wife...
Benning.
Yeah, we saw her on Kim or Fallon
show,
the other day.
Let's see. Okay, fine. What did you say?
I said 57.
55.
59.
Ah! You were right. I went the wrong way.
You're right.
Right there.
That's a fire.
Wait, all I know this.
I do too.
From Body of Proof.
Is this Housewives?
Desperate Housewives.
Yeah, oh, gosh.
We know Batman. This because Steve always plays
The Batman?
Justice League and Superman.
Ooh. Oh, that's a cartoon. The Batman, right?
Terry Hatcher.
No.
Okay, fine. The other one.
Ava Longoria?
No.
Is it a man?
No.
Dang it.
Dana Delaney.
Who is she the voice of?
All
in Justice
them's.
League.
She's played in just about everything Superman related that's come out in like the last 20 years.
I wonder if she's Lois.
Lois Lane.
I bet she's Lois.
Dana Delaney.
Okay. Dana Delaney.
In the last 20 years, which means she could be... I don't know.
She could be like at
if
least...
If she's a desperate housewife.
She's at least 26.
Well, I was thinking like 40s because she's a desperate housewife.
Yeah. 44.
46.
58.
Oh, man, what's with all these old people up in here? I'm kidding. If you're out there and you're...
And dead. You're old.
Yeah.
That's false!
Whoa!
From Pretty Little Liars, The Bridge, Brotherhood, The West Wing... Mystic Pizza and X-Files.
Mystic Pizza.
So it's probably not Julian Anderson or David Duchovny.
No.
No.
Who else was in that? Was he also on Sons? Is it a dude?
No.
Oh.
Dang it.
Think End of X-Files.
End of X-Files. Oh! Was he in Terminator 2?
No.
Okay.
Because he is not a he.
Oh, right.
It's a woman, y'all. Y'all, it's a woman, y'all.
I give up.
Annabeth Gish.
Of course. No clue. 56.
Sure. 59.
43.
Oh, hey, Doug.
Yes.
I need to give some birthday shout-outs.
We got a few.
We've gotten a few. All right. So, Sylvia. Wait, where'd it go? This is it. Yeah.
Sylvia gets a shout out. It's a
Sylvia,
mom?
I want to tell you to be proud because last night your son emailed us. Cody.
The night before.
Yes, and he said your birthday was today, and Sylvia, you have emailed us today.
Oh, that's cool.
He did email last night. She wants a song. She wants Citizens Made Alive.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so we'll get that to you. Happy birthday, Sylvia. Also, another one. Where'd it go?
Where'd it go? There it is. Chase. Chase gives a shout out to his lovely wife of 3 years, Shayla. Happy birthday, Shayla.
Yeah!
Happy birthday, Sylvia. And Shayla, happy birthday.
Do they both start with S?
Yes.
It's S birthdays.
I knew it started with an S, though. Samsonite.
Samsonite.
Oh. I was way off. Knew it started with an S, though.
Swami,
Samsonite, Swanson.
Oh wait, it's right here on the. It's right. Samsonite. Oh. Okay.
Well, I dedicate this next song to them.
Yes.
All right. Yeah. Toe for Grace.
Nope. From Men at Work and That 70s Show.
The best friend. He was the best friend. Hyde.
Yes.
What's his name? What is his name? Scream it into your radio, people in the
David
car.
David Jemima.
Danny Masterson.
Danny Masterson! I knew that!
He is brothers with Francis from Malcolm in the Middle.
Really?
Yes.
That's sense. Crazy, I mean, talk.
And
cool.
He DJs under the name DJ Monpants.
DJ Monpants.
Danny Mom Masterson. Pimp.
Danny Masterson today is 38.
Yes.
Whoa!
Yes!
It's our first celebration.
It's our first celebration. I'm going for the rooster music. I deserve it.
He did it.
I deserve
He's
it.
He's got the rooster song ready.
Yep.
It's awesome. I hate this song.
I know you do.
I hate it.
But I'm winning right
hey,
now.
Hey, yo, I hate this song.
Danny Masterson. Happy birthday, Danny Masterson.
You sure did master that one.
Oh, son.
Oh, wait. Is it a member of U2's birthday?
Yes.
Where are you at, big fan? Is it Bono's birthday?
No, that's December 25th.
Oh, excuse me. I'm sorry, I forgot.
Adam Clayton, Larry Mullen.
Yes.
Okay.
Adam Clayton. The bassist. Of U2.
Oh my gosh, we have to play.
He has
lots
the best hair in the band.
He has incredible hair right now, right? Adam Clayton. He's got like the whitest hair right now.
It's almost as white as Joel Osteen's teeth.
Oh man, Adam Clayton.
Oh man. Okay, Adam Clayton, think about it.
I don't even want to talk. I just want to listen to this song.
Let's scale. Okay.
I'm gonna say, gosh, how old is Adam?
Okay.
Gosh. Okay. I'm gonna say he hit the big 6-0.
Think so? I say 62.
54.
Oh, he was a youngin' then.
There
he's trying
is.
To go according
That's
to
why his hair looks wow. so good, I'll tell you.
I tried to go according to first record how old he was. I overshot it.
Oh my gosh, is it Jeff Goldblum's birthday?
No.
Is it Sam Neill? Laura
no.
Dern.
You're thinking Jurassic Park 3 for this one.
Okay.
As well as Fargo, Shameless, and Magnolia.
Oh, William H. Macy.
Yes.
Boom! Turn it up, Doug!
You love Jurassic Park.
Bless this Thursday!
William H. Macy, Sylvia, Shmanala, Shayna Mean, Chase's wife, Shondala. Actually, it's Shayla. Oh, man. William H. Macy is 58.
William H. Macy is 64 years old.
Yes, 64.
Proud of you.
Love it.
Proud
I love
of
everything
you.
In this world. Thank you.
All right.
Ruined
cool.
Jurassic Park with that rooster.
My bad.
Okay, we are on to dates now.
Yes!
On this date in what year Harvard College was named for clergyman John Harvard?
Ooh. Wait, Harvard's been open a long time.
Yeah. Wait.
It's really old.
Harvard is
remember.
We know this
yes.
because
it's been open longer than Italy, right?
Then Italy's been a country, but Italy didn't become a country until 1861. 61. Okay. We're remembering stuff!
I can see into the future of your mind.
1837.
1842.
1639.
What? What?
Dumbfounded.
Yes.
Hashtag mind blown. Hashtag sleepy.
Maybe
hashtag,
it was 1681 that Italy became
maybe that
a
thing
country.
Had it backwards. It said 1861. We were both like... No. I looked it up. Italy became a country in 1861.
Okay. All right.
This next one gets no music.
Good.
Because on this day, in what year, Chester Greenwood of Maine received a patent for earmuffs.
Oh. Well done.
Well played, Doug. Well played.
Oh, earmuffs. Earmuffs!
Earmuffs, kids. Brody? Brody really will do that.
Yeah.
Been trying to train him on earmuffs.
Yeah, and he's been doing it really well.
Yeah.
I tried to get a clip for that to play, but I just... Every time they say earmuffs in that movie,
bad words happen. That's why I said it. You can say anything.
Earmuffs. How old are earmuffs?
I think earmuffs...
200 years old?
Maybe. I think they... What is this year? 2014?
I'm going to say earmuffs came about the same year as Italy became a country, 1861.
I think earmuffs came well before that.
Okay.
I think it was 1532.
1887.
Dang it.
Oh, so close!
I was thinking of the Eskimos. Did they ask the Eskimos? Because I'm pretty sure they had them for a long time. Oh.
On this day in what year, Mattel introduced the Ken doll?
Yeah!
Yes! we'll see. Barbie has been around for some time. Wait, didn't she just celebrate like a 100th birthday or something crazy like that? Okay, so if that was like 1940, I'm going to say 1927.
Kendall is full of himself.
Yeah, he is.
When'd you say 27?
27.
I'd say 1973.
1961.
Oh, gosh. Ken came way later.
On this day in what year, Bryan Adams' single Heat of the Night became the first commercially released cassette single in the U.S.
Wow.
Okay. Let's think about this.
Yeah.
Let's go slow.
Okay.
First.
Cassette.
1983.
1981.
I said 83.
1987.
Oh! Dang. 87
cassette single.
Oh right, in 81 yep. I was only okay. Yeah,
yeah. But
there were still 8 tracks in my pop's car in 81.
On this day in what year, a blind man robbed a bank in Vallejo, California. Then asked the teller to guide him out of the building.
She refused,
and he was still trying to find his way out when the police arrived.
Criminals are great. I bought the law.
Excuse me, can you?
Where did you get those sunglasses?
Can you help? I'm
Where
sorry.
Did they come just, from?
I got caught. Can you help me?
I can help you. I'm an officer of the law.
Not funny.
My name's Troy McClure. You might remember me from such driver's education films as Red Pavement and Red Pavement 2, Back on the Road.
1997.
1989.
1990.
Oh!
And the last one,
oh,
on this day in what year, Encyclopedia Britannica announced it would no longer publish printed versions of its encyclopedias.
Oh, 2007.
2009.
2012.
Oh!
Man, that was so recent.
Encyclopedia Britannica.
We had those in our house, man.
Yeah, we had World Book.
Back in my day, if you wanted to Google something...
You Googled the Britannica.
You had to look it up in a book. You had to know how to spell. There was no spell check in Encyclopedia Britannica.
Anyway.
Today is...
What day?
Donald Duck Day.
Donald...
It is also.
It's pretty good.
It is also Earmuffs Day.
Ah, yes.
Canine Veterans Day.
Okay.
National Open an Umbrella Indoors Day.
No!
World Kidney Day.
Kidney Day.
And Popcorn Lovers Day.
Hey, I hate popcorn.
You do?
I'm not a fan of popcorn.
Popcorn.
Because at home, it like smells up the house with that nasty
microwaveable popcorn smell. It's going to smell it up.
I'm okay with movie theater popcorn. I just don't like microwavable popcorn. Well, we got a great show for you today. It's Thursday. Douglas is in the house.
Sweet Doug.
Day 2 of Doug Attack 2014.
Whoa.
Yeah. It's been pretty great.
Hurricane Doug.
Yeah. We'll take your phone calls and your emails. We got a ton of emails already for requests. We'll get to one of those on the way. Request for some citizens made alive for the birthday girl.
Woohoo! Happy birthday!
Mm-hmm. We'll also be talking with our dear friends at the Aspen Project. And, of course, Theology Thursday coming up at 9. Find out details at mystaticradio.com.
Yeah.
Team, awesome.
Morning.
Party.
Yes.
Bye.
Static, you.
Team, awesome morning party.
Hit this.
Now.
Static.
Don't touch that dial. Listen to
Team Awesome Morning Party.
Cornerstone of any nutritious breakfast.
And now the traffic report with me, Mateo.
Yes!
It sounds professional, but I don't like it.
That was good.
No.
I-25 Paseo Del Norte. There's construction. The roadway reduced to 2 lanes. They're making that thing crazy.
Yeah.
So be careful around there. Also up in Rio Rancho, we have the construction Highway 528 between Southern Boulevard / Meadowlark Lane and Northern Boulevard. Everything else looks great. Dude, you're doing a good job, Albuquerque.
Good job, buddy.
Keep it up.
I saw a list of the hardest working cities in America.
Yeah?
We were number 47.
Number 47.
Albuquerque.
Booyah.
Yeah, good job, Albuquerque. You're
better than 48.
You're doing it.
Good job.
Traffic brought to you by Solomon's Porch, 4001 Osuna Road Northeast on the Calvert campus. Phone number is 505-338-3669. That's 505-338-3669. I got a question for you.
No.
Actually, I don't even need to ask you because sadly, yesterday, Celeste, she had a project.
I've met her before.
Yeah. Remember, she had a project for school and she needed us to take selfies.
Oh, yes. Yes, I have met her before.
I was going to ask if you've ever taken a selfie, but I know the answer to that.
I have.
Well, I found a list of the top 20 selfiest cities in the world.
I'm doing the Ringo Starr thing.
Yeah. Selfies, for better or worse, kind of become the staple of Instagram.
Yeah.
Heck, the society.
Heck.
That we live in. But trying to find the epicenter of said movement. Well, we believe we found it. According to a recent study and analysis done by Time Magazine.
Ooh.
Selfie capital of the world, they've discovered!
Really?
Yeah.
Of the world.
It's interesting. Of the world. This is the number one place in the world where people are like, hey, man.
Stop.
Look at this photograph.
Doug, make him stop.
It's a picture of my face and stuff. And thought I wanted to take a dog. But I'm gonna do something more.
Why would you take somebody's dog?
I didn't want to take the dog. It was a picture of the
dog.
You
said you thought you wanted to take the dog.
Yeah, but
what kind of dog was it?
I don't know.
If it was a small dog, then I'll understand because that's easy. But if it was a large animal, then you're going to need a buddy.
Yeah. I was talking to Sam Swan from the Baptist Convention in New Mexico, who says selfies are not a cell phone invention. They're not a new thing.
Oh, you mean old Selfie Swan?
He used to do disposable camera selfies all the time. He'd steal students' cameras.
That's what they call him on the street, Selfie Swan.
Selfie Swan! Can't wait till they develop this film.
Oh, look. Who am I? Got my hands up.
Selfie Swan!
Selfie Swan.
We, of course, will have Selfie Swan in on Friday, but selfies!
Why is this still playing? What is happening?
It's selfie. I'm sorry, I'm being selfiest? Goodbye. Goodbye,
Fred
Nickelback.
Fred likes Nickelback. Right. Fred.
Really?
My buddy Fred back in the stockroom, Forever 21, he likes Nickelback.
All right.
He just broke into a Nickelback song one day, and I said, Fred, there's one rule back here. There's one rule. Nobody plays, listens to, or sings Nickelback.
All right.
And he agreed.
No
but
more
then
Nickelback.
He did it again.
No more Nickelback. Here's the thing. Phone lines are open. 505-338-3700. The capital of the selfie world. If you can guess that, we've got a little prize package courtesy of Parchments Bookstore. Ooh. Here on Calvary's campus. We got a gift card to Parchments. We've got CD, possible book.
Yeah.
But you got to hit us up. 505-338-3700. I just don't think you're going to be able to guess it unless you Google it. So don't Google it.
I will Google it right now.
No. Top, what's the selfiest city in the world?
I guess?
Yeah, absolutely.
New York City.
While somebody's on the... Nope.
Really?
Nope.
Paris.
Not even talk. Oh, yeah. 17, Paris.
17?
Now, I will say this. I want to give you partial credit because Manhattan came in second. All right.
That's what I meant. I was thinking of Times Square.
All right. Were you really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because, you know, everybody's in there and they're like, look where I am.
Well, it's still not first. Okay. So, Static. Hello.
Hello.
Yes. Awesome. If you're going to call, make sure you turn your radio down there is a delay.
Was that a booty call?
No.
Somebody call us while they were sitting on their phone?
Those are called butt dials. It's something.
It's a booty call.
No.
Booty called us, Doug.
Totally different.
Weird.
Selfiest city in the world, 505-338-3700. If you can guess, we got a prize package courtesy of Parchments, including a gift card, book, CD. You name it. All right, keep going.
Okay. Lincoln, Nebraska.
Okay.
Capital of the world.
Nope.
That's not it?
Now, I will say this. According to Time Magazine, they did a recent study and analysis to find the selfie capital of the world. So, this city that came in number one averaged 258 selfie takers per 100,000 people. So, it's basically per capita, and this destroyed the competition. Manhattan came in at 202 selfie takers per 100,000 people.
The other one had 258.
So if that helps you, yeah, 258 selfie takers per 100,000 people. So obviously, probably a highly populated area, I'd say, or just highly populated
Tokyo.
Area of people. Not even on the top 20.
Dang.
Yeah. You would think so.
Tupelo, Mississippi.
Nope.
Home of Elvis Presley.
505-338-3700. Static.
Is it Makati City, Philippines?
What?
Hey, Googler.
Makati City, Philippines? How would you know that, you Googler?
Google.
Are you a Googler?
Google.
Did you Google it?
I am
it?
A Googler.
Ugh. Why would you ruin the game
you
like
Googler.
That?
You Googler. Oh, you're a Googler.
Who is this? What's your name?
Jaden.
Jaden?
Yes.
Jaden the Googler.
Jaden the
You've
Googler.
You've just been branded the Googler.
Great googly
Such a
moogly,
Googler.
Jaden.
Sorry.
Why'd you Google that?
Jaden.
All that
I'm
for
sorry.
A $5 gift card.
Do you feel remorse in your heart?
Yes.
Do you feel like you need to change your life maybe and not just Google the answers? Maybe.
Yeah, I do.
You need to
become more creative.
You need to go around the world. Yeah, next time use Bing.
Hey, man. Hey, Jaden.
Hey.
We're sorry, man. We don't mean to make you feel bad. If you just didn't have the knowledge, sometimes, you know, guessing is okay, too.
We grew up with these things called encyclopedias.
And if we didn't know something, chances are we waited days.
We had to go across the room, get the book, and try to find it.
Yeah.
And if it wasn't in there, we had to go to the public library.
Now somebody asks a question, you just Google it.
You just Google it now.
It's a go-to.
Yeah.
Makati City, Philippines. Came in at number one.
That's crazy.
The game's over. Jaden ruined it.
Jaden won, but the game is over.
I'm just kidding, Jaden. Hang out on the line. I'm going to get your information, okay?
All right.
Way to Google.
Booyah.
All right. Number one, Makati City, Philippines.
Interesting.
Random.
That is random.
Apparently, it is the financial center of the country for the Philippines. I still don't understand. You were on the right track, I thought, with Manhattan.
That's what I thought. I thought it would be a huge tourist destination.
Right. Number three, Miami.
Yeah.
Number four, which to me, I feel like should be higher than this.
Hollywood?
Nope. Think of another place in that great state where people would be taking selfies constantly.
Oh, Disney World.
Boom! Except Disneyland, Anaheim.
You said
Hollywood.
I went back
Hollywood's
to Miami.
Hollywood's in California.
I went back to Miami.
No, don't go back to Miami.
I'm going
don't
to ever. Miami.
We're going back to Cali.
Hasta lingua, to Cali. Hasta Miami.
To Cali.
Mm-mm.
We're going back to Cali.
I'm going to Miami. I have to discuss something with my friend LeBron.
Oh, man. Yep. So a list of the top 20 cities that are the selfiest. Makati City came in number one in the Philippines.
Boom.
Manhattan was number two. Miami, number three. Anaheim and Santa Ana tied number four.
Oh. Huh.
Petaling Jaya, Malaysia.
Ta-da.
Number five. Number six was Tel Aviv.
Wow. I've always kind of wanted to go to, like, Tel Aviv, that area.
Yeah?
I think that would be super cool.
Manchester came in seventh.
Okay.
Milan, Italy was eighth.
Man, I want to go so many places. I want to go to Tokyo. I want to go to Beijing.
Yes.
Australia. Is Australia on there? I would love to go to Australia.
Australia, no. Ah. However, can I just say, Makati City and Pasig, Philippines, yeah, tied for first. And then number nine is Cebu City, Philippines. And then we've got Jambalaya, Philippines.
They must have very affordable data plans.
Apparently,
in the Philippines.
Because then around there, there's Georgetown, Malaysia. There's Petaling Jaya, Malaysia. Yeah, dude. Denpasar, Indonesia.
Oh, man.
Top 20 cities that are the selfiest.
Selfiest cities in the world.
Yeah. So there you go. Yeah, rounding out the top 10 was Georgetown, Malaysia. San Francisco was 11th.
Okay.
Oslo was 12th. Boston, 13th. Newark was 14th. Honolulu was 15th.
That blows my mind.
Yeah. Bagayu, Philippines. I'm totally butchering
but
that.
But, too,
sure.
I mean, there's so many people in the Philippines. Like, yeah. The population is just so massive.
Well, there you go. And so they all apparently have cell phones and are throwing them up on the... Yeah.
Take a picture of myself.
Las Vegas was 20th. That rounded out the top 20.
Oh, Vegas.
Vegas was 20th. Leeds, England was 19th. So there you go. Your top 20 selfiest cities in the world, apparently. America, we need to catch up.
Hey.
Or we're doing a good job because we're
I think we need to lower our selfie standards.
Yeah.
I think we need to quit.
All right. On the way, we got some John Tibbs.
Let's take a picture of me and you right now.
Okay, yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's good. After the selfie game. Got it. Doug, you don't get a selfie.
That didn't even happen.
It did. It
didn't happen in real life.
It happened in the mind.
All right. Got some May on the way.
Woo!
And by on the way, I mean right now.
Okay.
It's Team Awesome Morning Party.
Now.
Static.
Get ready for a jolt. Ready?
Wake up!
It's Team Awesome Morning Party.
Wake up!
On Static Radio.
And here comes trouble. Here comes trouble.
Good morning.
Good morning, everybody.
Team Awesome Morning Party. Howdy.
Having a morning time of fun.
Yeah.
And frivolity.
Don't forget, coming up in the 8 o'clock hour, we will be joined by the Aspen Project.
Oh, yeah.
Got some exciting things to talk about, including ways you can get involved in the community. Speaking of the community.
Community.
And helping our fellow man.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's become popular, trendy, cool, hip, to be environmentally friendly. Whether it's rocking an electric car, a Prius, going green. Well, Europe has been helping with that. And helping make it popular, if you will,
mm-hmm,
by adding incentives.
Incentivizing.
Yeah, check this out. Getting paid on your way to work. That would be awesome to get paid to commute to work. But I guess it's an increasingly popular thing in Europe if you commute on a bike. Employers in Britain, Belgium, and the Netherlands all reward their employees for every kilometer and mile pedaled to the office. Some French workers could soon receive the same benefit under a new plan proposed last week by the country's transportation minister. They plan to boost bike usage. They would reimburse employees between 29 and 35 cents per kilometer. Dude, in Belgium, pedaling commuters are paid 29 cents per kilometer, and in the Netherlands, it's only 15 cents. But in 2009, the IRS here in the States actually added a bicycle commuting reimbursement benefit that allowed employers to reimburse bike commuters up to $20 a month for flat tires and other expenses. So
nice.
That's cool.
Nice.
So here's a question. Possible question of the day. Okay. If you could get paid to bike to school or to work, wherever, if the city, if the government, if they decided, hey, we will pay you to use your bicycle instead of a car. Would you do it?
Instead
we have a long commute instead of using your car. Come on, buddy. Let's
Let
get
me
bikes.
Think about it.
That's a big commute.
And it's super early and it's super cold and it's dark. So we'd have to buy reflective clothing, the helmet.
Yeah.
The whole nine. We'd have to go the whole nine.
Truth. 505-338-3700. Static.
You think you have a long commute.
Yeah, that's true.
You think you have a long commute.
Yeah, but you have a work van, right?
Yeah.
So do you get paid for mileage or do they pay for your gas or anything like that?
They pay for my gas.
Yeah, so you don't have to worry about this.
Yeah, I know.
Are you kidding me? Man. Complainy.
Whatever.
We have a long commute and we have to pay for our own gas. Spoiled.
Well, well, you have a fun job, though. So.
Hey, why are you so spoiled?
That's true. We love what we do.
I was kidding. I said, why are you so spoke?
So you can never take a bike, ever.
No, never.
All right. How far do you have to drive, TJ?
From my house to the center of town is about 37 miles.
Yeah.
Dang.
But I drive all the way up to, like, down to Bernalillo, or up to Bernalillo, down to Boleyn. I'm in Santa Fe sometimes.
Right.
There's no way.
Yeah, the bike, that would not be an option for you.
All right.
No.
Thanks, Teej.
See you later.
All right. 505-338-3700. Thebes just texted and he says, I do it. All 1.5 miles to work.
Man, you'd be making like 30 cents a day, man.
But here's the thing. If you really think about it, you're making a lot more than that. Because if we bike to work every day, then I wouldn't have to buy gas.
Yeah.
Because it costs us to drive to work every day.
It does.
It costs us gas money every day. And so, if we're biking, not only are we saving gas money, but we're also
getting healthy.
Getting healthy and getting money.
Getting money.
America!
America.
Where are you in this?
Yeah, America. Where you at now?
If you're just joining us in Europe, biking to work actually pays. So, if you live in Britain, Belgium, the Netherlands, and some French workers, they could be getting that here soon. After a new plan proposed last week by the country's transportation minister, anywhere between 15 to 35 cents per kilometer, depending on the country you live in.
See, saying what you just did, it did make me, because I'm just sitting here thinking, gosh, that's just the hassle. It's more of like a safety slash hassle issue for me, because getting up, we live about 15 miles out.
I'm going to Google Maps this, Mophie.
To the east. But anyway, if we live at the top of the Sandia Mountains.
We live 11.6 miles away.
Okay. So.
Wait, that's not my address. Why did it? Okay.
That's your address, man. That's your address, man.
Give or take, because that's my old address.
So around 15.
Cell phone. So bloop, bloop. Cell phone. Why don't you have my right address?
You can swap it to where it bikes it, and you can get the exact thing. And,
oh, really?
Yeah, you can see how long it would take in bike years.
Oh, man, this is going to take me 7 years. Okay, so.
Guys, he's just doing a little quick math. Calm down. It's not like it's dead air or something. It's not like you have to sit there and complain because it's taking him a while to use his phone. It's okay. Just calm down. Doug, you okay? Doug's fine. I've got an update on Doug. He's doing great. I'm looking at him. He's okay. He's right there. Through this bulletproof glass, Doug. Remember that in case you ever get upset. Bulletproof. So, what do you think, Steve-O?
Well, to get there.
Yeah?
Transit directions?
Oh, that's
wait,
the bus.
I found my house.
That's the bus.
Wait, but.
Okay, never mind.
Okay,
but
wait.
We say.
No, I got this. I got this. Hold on. Okay.
Back to the Jeopardy music. Everyone, I just want to tell you that if you live on the top of the Sandia Mountains, we need to talk. Because I'm disappointed in the snow ratio of. This year and warmth. Hey, Doug wants to say something.
How do I hold on, Doug?
Hang on, Doug.
Gosh,
we can't
Doug.
Hear you. We have to cue you up over here.
I'm trying to find how do I change it to bicycles. What, Doug?
Doug.
Just in case you guys were wondering, there will be a prescribed burn on the Sandia Mountains today. So in case you see smoke.
Thank you, Doug.
Thanks, Doug. Thank you.
Any PSAs you got like that, just send them our way.
Doug, the intern. I don't know, man.
I'm glad he told me. Yeah. I would have looked towards the mountains and thought that something terrible was happening. We still don't know over there?
It's 11 miles, it says, but that's like in the car.
That's in the car. So, it's give or take a couple with the bike.
Okay.
Also, the internet on the computer has frozen.
Let's say it's 11 miles and we get 30 cents a mile.
30 cents a mile.
$3.30 each way. So we get $6.60 a day to take our bike to work instead of using a car and wasting gas money.
Let's say 50 cents a mile because I think, Doug, correct me if I'm wrong, isn't a kilometer 1.6?
Oh, okay. Cool.
Like,
yeah, man.
Or, no, there's 1.6 kilometers in a mile is what I'm saying.
Okay, let's pretend your job was going to give you $5 each way.
No, not $5. That's crazy. But 50 cents. 50 cents when we started traveling a lot.
Yeah.
50 cents a mile was the go rate.
Okay.
And I'm sure it dropped a little and came back up with the economy. So say you're getting 50 cents a mile.
To take your bicycle instead of
take your bike. So 11
car.
Miles here.
Yeah.
11 miles home.
Yeah.
And they're going to pay for all of my safety gear, my reflective clothing.
Cool.
Probably going to have to get a better insurance policy. See, that's another thing.
Oh.
Because if you're
overthinking it.
No,
the question of the day just became.
If your company is going to pay you to use your bike, you know what I'm saying? Then your insurance policy is going to be a little different, right?
Static.
Hey, does a longboard count?
Yes.
Ooh, longboard. How would you gauge a longboard, though? I feel like you'd have to put a little meter on it so that they would know that you're not cheating.
Oh, dang it.
You know what? Let's pretend like it counted. Yes.
He said,
well, because I live, like, near downtown, and I work over here by the Hot Air Balloon Fiesta Museum.
Mm.
And the whole time my car was getting restored, I would skate to the bus station and then go up Central to San Mateo, wait for the other bus, go all the way up to Alameda, and then skate to work from there.
Nice.
So that's pretty much how I done it. And then if my car breaks down, that's pretty much my route.
So you're a commuter. Good job, you. You can get
around. Well, I take my car. I'm just saying when it does break down, then that's my second car, my longboard.
I like
Yay.
That. All right.
Okay, I put the question of the day on Facebook. A few companies over in Europe are paying employees to bike to work. If you could be paid to bike to work instead of using your car, would you do it? There's also a fancy picture of a bicycle.
I love it. Get there, facebook.com/mystaticradio. It's the question of the day. Europe's doing it. Would you do it here in America?
I think that'll happen really soon.
Gosh.
Especially in the major cities.
Let's get a two-person bike.
Oh, that would be cool.
All right?
That would be cool.
We'll help each other out. We live in the same place. Come on.
Can you imagine coming down the, what is it, the petroglyphs?
We're like Laverne and Shirley. Oh, that'd be so great. I want to do that. We're going to get a two-person bike and we're going to bike.
All right, we'll do it. We're going to bike to work from now on and freeze.
Wait, but not until they start paying us.
No, it's happening.
I'm only doing
We're
this
doing
for the
it before that. We're not in it for the money.
It's all about
We're
the
not
benchmarks.
In it for the money.
It's all about the
We're doing it for the pure sport of it. Pure of heart, Doug.
Right.
Pure of heart.
Gosh.
He gets it.
Coming right back.
He gets me.
We got some Civil Wars.
He gets me.
The Aspen Project. Question of the day. It's posted. Facebook.com/mystaticradio. Steam Awesome Morning Party.
Hey.
That show is the broadcast equivalent of being punched in the face.
Team Awesome Morning Party. On Static Radio.
Happy birthday, Adam!
Hey!
Today is Adam Clayton's birthday, so we are celebrating with some U2.
Yeah?
Only the greatest rock and roll band of all time. Am I right, Michelle Schropp?
Ever.
Ever.
Okay, good. That was the
Ever.
Only answer I wanted to hear from you, because if
Ever.
You had said anything different, this interview would have concluded.
Boom.
Did you know I saw them in concert?
Me too.
In 1990.
Whoa, you win. You totally
Dodger
win.
Stadium.
Man,
on Halloween.
I was
which
seven.
Which was Larry Mullen Jr.'s birthday.
Whoa. Nice.
Serious.
Good grief.
Good job. When's Bono's birthday?
Don't know.
It's Christmas.
Man,
oh,
I was...
The day after mine.
In 1990, I was gearing up for a fascinating year of second grade. It was going to be great. Halloween that year was nuts. Dressed up like a weird rabbit thing.
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
I like that.
Yeah.
All right. I graduated high school.
Nicely done there. You're not supposed to give away these secrets. Everybody thinks
That's
you're 27.
Right. No.
So,
they're just being nice.
Nah.
Yeah.
It's all good. Is it weird when you go places and you're hanging out with dudes and your husband's taking photos?
Yes, it's very weird. Standing
the back.
On desks.
MyStaticRadio.com, you've got to check out the webcam.
We got Clay Schropp in the back.
Clay's in the back. He's a man of mystery.
I have a new photo that I'm going to post. Did you guys just check it out on my Facebook?
There you go. All right. I love it. Wait, no. No.
Yes.
Yes.
Wasn't creepy at all.
We've got these new rad shirts. We've got to talk about these. First of all, Michelle Schroff, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
We talk about this week in and week out, Aspen Project, Project Zoe.
Yes.
What's up with these t-shirts we're modeling? Webcam, y'all, webcam. What do we got? You got to talk about these. I know it says you matter.
You matter.
You know what? We have a project for each of them. We have Project Zoe.
Okay.
Which is going to be you are, and then it's going to be a theme. And then for the Aspen Project, it's going to be something matters. And it's the eternal things that matter.
Yeah.
So, for instance, on this one, it's you matter. And mm-hmm. It really talks about God's love towards you. It really doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. You need to know that you matter to God.
Yeah.
And when you wear the shirt, it lets other people know that they matter. Because we're all made in the image of God. The You Are Project is how God views you. And it's those are girl shirts only. They're for Project Zoe, which is a man-free zone.
Okay.
But it's a you are beautiful. And God really sees you that way, no matter where you come from in your past. It's you are beautiful because God created you, and God doesn't make mistakes. And the daughters of God are all the daughters of God are all beautiful.
Yeah.
But it's a way to get the word out that we're out there. And it's a great way to fundraise. All profits do go to Project Zoe and to the Aspen Project and help us to continue what we're doing.
I'm going to tell you right now, I think it's like my new favorite shirt, so I hope you didn't want it back because I'm not taking it off.
It's very comfortable.
This seriously is, I have a hard time with t-shirts if the fabric sucks. You know what I mean? Like if it doesn't feel well, I have like a handful of t-shirts that have become my t-shirts.
Right.
You know what? Yeah. We went out of our way to make sure that they were high quality.
Yeah.
For the Good is the folks that printed up the t-shirts. And let me just say this. He went to pick up his brother instead of being here representing himself. So we're a little unsure about what we're going to be doing. Just kidding. They really busted their butts, helped us with the website. If you're interested in getting the t-shirts, it's u-are.org.
Yeah.
You can order them there, or they're going to be in Parchments by the weekend.
That's cool. All right. And of course, Parchments, you can check out. Parchments here on the Calvary campus. They partner with us. In fact, coming up for Theology Thursday, something new with Theology Thursday. Everybody who's been chiming in, asking questions, our good producer Doug is going to be getting everybody's information who asks a question today. You'll be entered for your chance to win some Parchments gift cards. So thanks to Parchments for all that. I love that they're going to be carrying these shirts. That's awesome. So that's good.
That is cool. I like it.
So t-shirts of awesomeness.
T-shirts.
And Michelle Schroff.
Yes.
Welcome. I love this. So, obviously, we hang out week in and week out. We talk about the Aspen Project, about Project Zoe.
That's right.
And so for those who are tuning in for the first time who may not know what Project Zoe is about, why should people purchase this t-shirt? Why should they care about this?
Well, it helps to fund the ministry of Project Zoe, particularly. And what we do is we outreach to 13 to 25-year-old at-risk youth. We extended it to 25 because we are noticing that a lot of young ladies are getting into, you know, possibly a lifestyle that's a little bit more difficult to get out by the time you're 21. So, so we extended it to 25, and it actually is working out really good. There's not a whole lot of women that we've had to absolutely turn away because of the age. So that's a confirmation that 25 is where we need to be. And what happens is they have a sponsor. So generally they're already seeking help to make some life changes, and that sponsor can be a social worker. It can be, you know, one of another sister organization that works with us, Embrace One, Spoken For. It can be CYFD. It can be, you know, a school, high school, CNM. And they would just sponsor them. And they'd come in, pick out 3 articles of clothing, 3 accessories. And then we offer workshops, GED prep, job prep, how to apply makeup in a professional way, hair. Also, we have a lot of other workshops that are life skills, whether it be sewing, whether it be cooking. We have lots
of
stuff going on.
Tell them about the Bible study.
And we have a Bible study and that's what's really cool, because that's kind of our community outreach. So that it's not necessarily, girls that just come through Project Zoe. It's from, the other organizations that I just mentioned. And we get together every Monday at 11 o'clock at Le Peep's restaurant.
All right.
The owners of Le Peep have volunteered to donate lunch every Monday. So if 10 girls show, 20, 30, they cover it. Wow. And Le Peeps has awesome.
You can't say that. We're non-com.
Whoops. Sorry.
She was describing.
Beep.
And that was
Michelle
Schroff.
I was describing the little chicks that you get for Easter.
Ugh,
she was
stating
the
factual. No, you weren't, because those are disgusting.
Yeah, those
I'm
peeps.
Sorry. I'll start a peep war. I hate
no,
those
they really
things.
Are.
I am not a marshmallow fan.
Me neither.
Peep War 2014. Doug?
Peep War 2014.
Peep
That's
war.
Right. Yeah.
Whose side are you on? My side,
this
always.
This Sunday, our Easter sunrise service, we're going to be throwing peeps at peeps. No, we're not. Okay.
Oh.
Throwing peeps at a peep.
They are so gross.
What? My kids, when we go to the store and they want marshmallows, they say, oh, don't ask mom. She won't get them.
Yeah.
She doesn't like them.
Marshmallows are gross, man.
They are.
I don't know. The consistency, everything about them is weird.
They're gross.
Peeps.
They're gross.
So strange.
The Bible study is not gross, though. And the Bible study focuses also on the character traits that God has given us through him. So we focus on you are wanted, you are worthy. And last week we talked about how, you know, Jesus left the 99 to seek the one.
Yeah.
And we're that one. No matter where we've been, what we've done, where we're going, he's seeking us. So
yeah, that's awesome.
It's it is. And we could probably go on for decades as far as the way that Christ looks at us.
Yeah.
And that, you know, and that's really what we're focusing on is, you know, how Christ sees us. Because a lot of times, you know, we have an opportunity to share Christ with young ladies that really don't feel like they're worth anything. You
right.
know, they've been abused. They've been, whether it's by a man or by their father or a boyfriend or a pimp or an employer. And it's amazing to see, you know, once they realize, wow, God loves me. He created me. He has a purpose for me. It's one of those aha moments.
Yeah.
And to see the change that happens in their lives and those around them.
Yeah.
Their children, their parents. And I have to be honest with you, I'd say 90% of the girls that we've seen since January do not have parents.
Wow.
Their parents are absent from their lives, whether they're foster kids, whether they've come out of the strip clubs. You know, we've seen a young lady whose children have been taken away and are, you know, already been adopted by strangers that she doesn't know. And, you know, thank God for those parents that were able to step up. But now she needs to rebuild, you know. And for us, as you know, as far as Aspen Project and Project Zoe goes, we really feel like it's coming full circle. You know, we're able to be there when the kids need us and, you know, bring them into our homes. But now we're able to help the moms that were unable to care for their kids. And they're not a lost cause.
Yeah.
You know, because as foster parents, it's easy to blame the parents and to say, oh, they're losers. And, you know, they're lost and they need help.
It's amazing how quickly we as humans are able to write somebody off because
right.
of the sin or because of whatever going on in their life. So I love what you guys do because God doesn't just write that person off.
No, he doesn't.
And yet, because we don't especially when we don't understand a situation or we don't know where they've come from or what they've been through, it's easy to surface level look at a situation and go, well, they obviously deserve that, or that's just a product of their sin, or this.
Yeah,
and
only self-righteous
understand.
People think that have made good choices.
Yeah.
You know, and that's where I have to examine my heart when I think, oh, you know, it's about the choices that we make. It's so not. Because if that was the case, we would need Christ. We just need to make good choices.
Right.
You know, we need a good counselor that could help us make good choices. We would not need Jesus Christ who died for our sins.
Yeah.
I mean, we're screw-ups.
Yeah.
And that's where we need to realize that, you know, we're going to make good choices sometimes, but most of the time we're not.
Right.
And that's why we need Christ. And whether it's, you know, catastrophic choices that we're making, you know, taking someone's life or, you know what? Christ redeems. He redeems murderers. He redeems pedophiles. And that's something that I know is hard to swallow.
Yeah.
And he redeems abusive parents, you know, and that's difficult to swallow. But that's why Christ came.
Yeah.
And we need to be his hands and feet. And I'm not saying, oh, I've arrived. I haven't.
I'm just going
to
wrap my arms around everybody.
No. You know, Christ is still working on my heart with, you know, with those things. And,
right, absolutely.
And it's a work in progress.
Yeah.
I mean, we just don't wake up at, you know, at 5 years old and say we love everyone no matter what they've done.
Yeah.
I mean, immediately we judge people.
We want justice.
We do.
Man, this morning I was on my way to work on Paseo and every day, it seems, there's been this state trooper camped.
Yeah.
And this morning, this little silver whatever was weaving in and out behind me. and was flying and slammed into the left lane and then cut me off and jumped in the right lane. And I immediately was like, I cannot wait to get to the Second Street bridge where that cop is hanging out because I can't wait to see the lights turn on. And it seriously, this morning was like the one morning that state trooper was not camped out.
Yeah.
And I got immediately pissed because I was like, Lord, this guy just cut me off. He's going like 90. He's going to kill somebody. Mm-hmm. And it's the one day, you know.
Right.
Because here I am going the speed limit. And I want, because I'm doing the correct
thing
in this moment, I want justice for that idiot who is cutting everybody off, about to kill somebody. And where's your justice, Lord? So it's amazing how we want justice for even the tiniest of things like that. And yet when it comes to us, man, we need mercy, grace, compassion, love.
Long-suffering.
Amen. It's
incredible. Long-suffering for
me. It's incredible. So when we take ourselves out of those those situations, and when we can just forget circumstances, everything, and look at that person the way Christ looks at that person, it's amazing what happens.
And I think, too, when we start taking our eyes off of everyone else and focus them on ourselves, you know, I mean, am I really worthy? Come on.
Right.
I mean, seriously, can I really look in the mirror and say, wow, I'm so worth it?
I deserve all the good in my life right now.
Exactly.
Such a great individual.
No, it's only through Christ that I'm worthy.
Amen.
And that's what these Bible studies are about. It's our identity in Christ. It's not our identity according to Michelle or according to Project Zoe. It's according to Christ.
Yeah.
And that's all that matters.
Amen. AspenProject.org. You can find out details there. Mm-hmm. Also, our Facebook page, facebook.com/mystaticradio.
Booyah.
Check out these snazzy t-shirts.
Snazzy.
We're sporting them right now. You can check the webcam at mystaticradio.com. And as always, thank you so much for coming
you.
In. It's awesome.
I
love it. Speaking of personal choice, coming up in the 9 o'clock hour, Theology Thursday, we're going to be talking a little bit about personal choice. We're going to talk about demon possession, of all things. We got a great show coming up in the 9 o'clock hour. I thought this was pertinent.
I love
it. Adam's birthday. We're celebrating some U2 today. And to me, this goes right along with what we've been talking about.
It do.
Yeah. There is no them. I love this. Great new track from U2. It's Team Awesome Morning Party.
Now.
Static.
Let the broadcasting of the disturbed continue.
Time for more from Team Awesome Morning Party on Static Radio.
Enjoy the show.
Welcome.
Good morning.
It's Team Awesome Morning Party. Celebrating U2 today because it is Adam's birthday.
It is.
Best hair in the business. Sorry, man. He has the best hair for a bassist I've ever seen in my life.
No, don't apologize to me.
Okay.
Because I'll tell you what, that hair is making no apologies. It's glorious.
It's pretty amazing right now.
Hey, guys, keep our friend Nancy in your thoughts and in your prayers.
Yes.
She's got a neurologist appointment today.
Yeah.
Had a weird, what she thought was a toothache, but then it turns out it's more than that.
Yeah.
She found out at the dentist yesterday it was actually a nerve issue. So pray for her.
Yes, please do.
It's a big deal. And
we love
that
her.
That can be really scary.
Yeah. Got really intense in here. We love her.
We
Mucho.
Said a group prayer.
Yes.
And we want you to do the same.
Please do.
So lift up Nancy.
Hey, we've been talking about this. Teased it in the 7 o'clock hour. It's a question of the day. Facebook.com/mystaticradio. In Europe. They're doing something a little different than they do here in the States.
Yes.
Paying you to bike your way to work. Now, it might sound weird, but that's actually becoming increasingly popular over in Europe. If you commute to work on a bicycle, employees in Britain, Belgium, and the Netherlands already reward their employees for every kilometer/mile pedaled to the office. In fact, some French workers soon could receive the same benefit under a new plan proposed last week by the country's transportation minister. So we are calling out the mayor, the gov. Who do we need to talk to about this?
We need to talk to the president of the Intergalactic Alliance.
Okay, I like that. Rumor has it we may get the mayor here soon.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah. Talking to you, Mayor Barry. RJ. He's an amazing dude.
Come on out.
Got to film some U-Rock with him.
I want to meet you.
He's fun. So, France is planning to boost bike mileage usage and reimburse employees between 29 and 35 cents a kilometer in Belgium. Pedaling commuters are being paid 29 cents a kilometer. It's only 15 cents in the Netherlands. However, we got to thinking about that here in the States.
Yeah.
505-338-3700, the phone number. If the city, the state, the government, if they decided, hey, we're going to start paying you to bike to work, would you do it? Would you put down the car keys and start biking to work? Is it like a forced healthy thing?
Maybe. I want to see what they say on Facebook. So we had a lot of replies. Actually, our boy Christopher says, I already do bike to work. It's an 18-mile round trip.
Wow.
And he's not getting paid.
Nicely done.
That man was doing it before the money came in.
Man, we gotta invest in some good bikes.
Patty Dickinson has an excellent point.
Huh.
She says most people ride between 11 to 17 miles per hour on a bike. You would save money because you wouldn't have to have a gym membership.
Truth.
There it is.
Static.
Hello.
Hello.
I could not do it.
Why not?
I have two jobs. One's at the jail and one's in Laguna.
Oof. That's a serious commute.
Yes, it is.
Okay.
So I cannot do that.
Okay, but I mean...
Even if I was in, like, Nate Armstrong, I couldn't do it.
Well, you'd have to wake up 7 hours earlier. Oh.
He needed a little help, too.
Gosh!
Yeah.
That was
bad. What if you had a job where you could do it? Would you do it?
If it was, like, a 10-mile-a-day type thing?
Yeah.
I probably could.
Okay. We're going to try this.
I'd like to try it. See, my concern for us is we really do get to work and it is dark outside.
It really is.
Yeah. So that, you guys get there super early.
That's a safety issue for me. And I don't know where Doug's coming from.
Yeah, we don't know.
But I think he lives on the top of the Sandia.
I feel like we'd be exhausted.
Yeah, I think it'd be safer if you guys did ride your bike. All the pedestrians would be a lot safer.
Oh, okay. I knew somebody was watching me drive.
See what you did. Amazing. Thanks for the call.
No problem.
All right. 505-338-3700 or facebook.com/mystaticradio.
Let's hear what Doug has to say.
Douglas, our intern. Dougie Fresh. Oh, yes. I love it.
Oh, he doesn't have headphones.
He can't hear us.
I took his headphones.
You stole his
headphones?
This is
what he wanted to convey, though, this message.
So you would ride your bike. It's like being... No,
no
you wouldn't.
He would.
No,
the safety
you just
thing
love
is...
Queen.
Thank you, Doug.
Amazing.
I had to take his headphones from Michelle Schroff.
Okay.
Yeah. Sorry, Doug.
It's all right.
We need more headphones. We'll get some.
Incredible. Would you ride your bike to work if the government paid you to ride? Is this sad? In Europe, they're like enforcing it. Hey, man, you need to be healthy.
Well,
ride your bike.
It's a different... I mean, but over in Europe, the cities are all clustered together. It's a lot more of a environment.
That's true.
The cities...
Albuquerque's pretty spread out.
When you come to America, people are, from what I've been told from my international friends, they are shocked at the sheer... Like our spread. People are so spread out here.
Yeah.
You know, and there's so many... A lot of us have to have cars.
Yeah.
Because we drive 20 miles to work every day.
When I was in Europe, I drove through like three countries in like an hour
and
a half.
It's like you're driving across the U.S. and then you're like, wait a second.
I've been through three countries.
I've covered countries.
Germany, Austria, Italy. Now I'm making my way back towards Switzerland and I'm back in Germany. Okay, cool, man. Yeah.
Let's see what else the people have to say. Clara says, depends on the city, but she would.
Okay.
Frank says, absolutely, without hesitation. Michael, our boy Michael, he drives a truck for a living.
Oh,
he says, not sure if this would work for me. And he says, but I guess I don't need to take my bike because I get paid to drive.
Ah, there you go.
Different story. And then Melissa says, someone paying me to not have to put gas in my car? Heck yeah.
Right?
Of course, there's the whole I don't have a bike thing. And I would need to get my kid to and from daycare.
Oof.
But hey, if they're the ones paying, I'm sure they have a solution for all that. So bring it on.
There you go.
And then Rita says, well, since it's the ABQ, they would have to offer life insurance along with it. And I agree with that. Now, if you're a company and you are encouraging your employees to, you know, bike to work and you live in Albuquerque, then yes, that life insurance policy is going to have to go up.
Yeah, she brought up the fact that there are so many ghost bikes around town, those little white bicycles. Those are... basically memorial points where somebody was hit, you know, by a car. So, yeah, thanks for bringing that up, Rita. Yeah.
Well, no, she's right. In our country, it's, you know, like motorcyclists, bicyclists, cyclists of all kinds. They're kind of like a second thought when you're on the road, you know.
Same cyclists.
Same cyclists. Bicyclists.
Yeah.
heterocyclist. It's crazy. Seriously, you know what I'm saying. It's a second thought, and we have signs everywhere. It's like, hey, pay attention, pay attention, pay attention. Get off your phone, pay attention. There would have to be stricter phone laws.
For real.
But I know here in Albuquerque, like, you can't even use your phone.
You're not supposed to. You know how many people I see with the phone, and then a police officer pulls up or is around, and then they go, like, slide it down, and speakerphone. It's like, come on!
Yeah.
You're not obeying the law. You just don't want to get caught. Douglas.
That's why I would not ride a bicycle to work, because I have to take 2nd Street over here.
Okay.
And it is really dark and sketchy in certain parts.
Yeah. Gosh. I'm just saying.
And I like to be alive.
Yeah. We like you to be alive too, Doug. So,
Doug,
you're
we like
intern.
You.
You're a good intern.
Don't cross us, though. We might change our mind.
505-338-3700, the phone number. Static.
Hello. When I was a young boy, I would ride bike to and from school uphill both ways in snow.
Gosh.
No, you wouldn't.
So
you don't know this. Were you in Soviet Russia? I think not.
Yes.
No, nor were you, obviously.
No, because I am confused.
Thank you for the
thanks
call.
For calling.
Man, it is just before 9 o'clock, which means coming up, Woo! Theology Thursday with Woo! Our dear friends, Jared Petro, Brian Nixon. They're pastors, they're experts. We've got a lot of crazy questions today.
Crazy questions.
We're going to talk a little bit about demon possession.
We've already gotten a couple of emails.
We're going to talk about Cosmos, the new television series that is blowing up everywhere.
We're going to talk about the fascinating traits of DNA and how those can easily lead to the belief in intelligent design or a creator.
Yeah, all that and your questions, facebook.com/mystaticradio. You can also chime in through email, studio@mystaticradio.com, or call us up. Phone lines are open, 505-338-3700. Coming up, some Nick Flora and Theology Thursday.
Yes.
Love it. It's Team Awesome Morning Party.
Now.
Static.
What are you talking about?
What kind of talk is this anyway?
Theology Thursday with Steve-O and Mateo. Featuring pastors Brian Nixon and Jared Petro.
Here it comes.
Let's begin.
It is your favorite hour of radio. Are you kidding?
No, I am kidding. About being kidding, I'm not. What?
Pastors Jared Petro and Brian Nixon in studio with us hanging out.
Well, hi, Steve-O. Hi, Mateo.
Hey.
Hello.
How are you guys?
Good.
Man, fantastic.
Isn't it?
What a great day. I
was going to say, it's a beautiful day. The Lord's on the throne, and we are privileged to be in the ministry. God is good.
Yeah, thanks for having us here every week, guys. It's awesome. Love
it. We have so many questions to get to. People coming in and hitting us with some good ones. It is also, in case you did not know, just so happens to be one of the greatest bass players in the universe's birthday. I'm talking about Mateo.
Hey.
It's not really his birthday.
It's not my birthday.
It's August 12th.
But it is Adam Clayton's
Adam Clayton's birthday.
Adam Clayton's birthday is today.
Hey, so, Adam Clayton, happy birthday.
Yeah.
We know you're listening.
Greatest
we know you're listening,
greatest
Adam.
Greatest hair in the industry.
Yeah.
So he's got incredible hair.
And it's gray, but it still is
Man,
a full head
it's
of hair.
Like white.
Glorious.
Yeah, I love it.
That's what this guy's going to look like over here.
Yeah, Petro.
Just keep going.
Yeah, yeah. We got a lot of questions to get to today, and if you are listening to Theology Thursday for the first time, you don't know what it is, this is a one-hour call-in show really centered around God's Word, what God's Word has to say about any and everything, and there's nothing that you can't ask that God has not provided an answer for. We've got some amazing, amazing special guests in studio in Pastors Jared Petro and Brian Nixon, and so these are resources for you. If you have thoughts, questions, are curious about, man, anything going on. Yeah.
Especially
there's
with that
so
music
much.
In the background makes me want to cry.
Gosh!
Just, it's building up.
Could be the greatest rock song of all time.
That's right.
Very well could be.
Brian, you want to sing it?
Well, I do appreciate you two immensely, and I am thinking back to the Joshua Tree tour that I saw you two three times, I think, on this tour.
You know what? Just go. You've arrived. I hate you.
For me, it was Oakland. Oakland. Finally seeing him on my birthday.
Let me just share a U2 story.
Please do.
I saw U2. The first time I saw U2 is when we just had moved from New Mexico over to California, and we just started to see concerts. Because here, there aren't very many concerts, big-name concerts, because we don't have a stadium. And in California, I just went to a lot of them. Well, U2 came, and it was 1983. It was between war.
Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, stop that. It was between war and Unforgettable Fire. They were doing new songs for Unforgettable Fire. So
crazy.
I saw U2 when...
Yeah.
And I literally... The stage wasn't packed up. Hey, see, this is what I saw.
Yeah.
It wasn't packed up.
I got the hits.
So I walked right up to the front of the stage and just sat there and watched them. And I saw them do Bad.
Gosh. That is good.
It's
good,
awesome.
But Bad. Yeah.
That's not what we're talking about. Yeah. We're not going to spend an hour talking.
All right,
YouTube,
let's head into this, man. We got a lot of questions.
We really could, because it really ties into some theological stuff that we have been studying with Switchfoot recently. So
Yeah.
We'll probably get into that, because I remember back in the 80s, it was very popular to say that U2 was a satanic band.
Yep.
Gosh.
But what people do not realize is that they started off primarily really as a group of Christian men, other than Adam, who admittedly didn't come to the faith until later, but the three gentlemen were Christians, and I remember early on when you could go to the Christian bookstore and still find U2 albums in the Christian bookstores.
Dude, and now I feel like they're coming back around, right? Like,
yeah,
as
yeah,
far as Christian bookstores, I mean, I don't mean U2, I mean Christian bookstores maybe picking up records.
Yeah, you know what, let me say that, you know, I honestly think between Bono and The Edge, they've always had that underlining their own personal struggle, even through their albums. It's kind of like a journey of their own life. Brian had turned me on to a book, and I can't remember what it was. Basically their life and their spiritual journey. Brian, do you remember the name of that book?
Yeah, it was called Walk On, and it was by, I think, Steve Turner.
Excellent book.
The British
journey.
Guy. And Steve Turner wrote about their spiritual journey, essentially.
The early Bible study.
Early, you know, they
stuff,
were into Watchman Nee, and they were kind of into some interesting, you know, guys. Yeah. But a lot of people were influenced by that genre of Christianity. So, but good guys. But we're not here to talk about you two, Steve-O?
Yeah. No, we'll talk about Switchfoot and the latest protest that's going on coming up, if we have time, because there's a lot going on with that as well. But for Theology Thursday, it's really a chance to dig into God's Word and discuss important issues in today's culture. We're not going to fight, which is great. One thing I am excited about with Theology Thursday, you know, whether it's evolution versus creationism, versus theistic evolution versus there's 117 different ideas there. There's never been a fight about it. We're not going to quarrel, but we are called to reason. And so today we're going to use our brains. We're going to love the Lord our God with all of our mind. And so that is really the purpose of Theology Thursday. We've got a lot of email questions.
We do.
If you would like to email in a question, studio@mystaticradio.com. That's studio@mystaticradio.com. You can also give us a call. Doug, our amazing intern, is taking your phone calls right now. He'll get your information, get you out on the air. Anybody who calls in today with a question, we've got some gift cards, courtesy of Parchment's Bookstore, some $5 gift cards. Anybody who calls in, we're going to hook you up with one of those. So make sure you get a phone number from those people there, Douglas.
Hey, if like 20 of those are missing, it's not my fault.
You can only use one
just so we know.
Per purchase. So
That's what they say, but somebody
we're
I know might try
system.
To test that.
We'll test that
It's
system.
Not me.
505-338-3700, the phone number for Theology Thursday. All right, you want to dig into some of these email questions?
Now, where do we want to start? Because I know you guys had things that you wanted to...
Let's go down the line,
let's
man.
Go. Let's answer these as much as
we
can.
All right.
This comes from a friend. It says, not sure if this question is suitable for Theology Thursday or Shock Therapy.
Okay.
In the Bible, it speaks of Jesus casting out demons and others doing so in his name. Do people still have this demon affliction today? How are demons cast out in this time? Does this have anything to do with the high rate of mental illness that is prevalent in society? Thank you.
All right.
Wow. I'll let Jared, because this is talking about demon possession and it goes into spiritual warfare, so I'll let Jared tackle that. But let me just say at the get-go, the question really has two components. It's talking about casting out demons, demon possession, and then mental illness, and they're almost two separate things, but let's tackle the first one first. Jared.
Yeah, you know, I think of a good place to start if you're reading, if you have your Bible, you can always look in, like, Mark chapter 5 is a good example where Jesus is confronted by this demon who, this demon man who is possessed, of course, and comes out of the graves. And it's interesting to note that as Jesus is approached by this man falls down before Christ and he recognizes that Jesus is the Son of God. And it's interesting because some of the characteristics when I look at this, and I would say to even start off, how do you identify somebody who's demon-possessed? And that's always a good place to start, whether they're you want to define it as mental illness or you see somebody who has sickness. How do you define that? Well, in that particular story, it says this man was infatuated, if you will, with death, that there was an isolation. So a couple characteristics. He was isolated himself from people, other people. And also he had the supernatural power. He was infatuated by death, you know, so he was among the graves. And then it says that he would cut himself often. So there was this whole self-infliction. So you see that pattern of the self-infliction. This man's isolated. And even to the point where he was spiritual, if you will. There was even a recognition of who Jesus was, and then Jesus causes him to confess who the demons are. And he says, you know, I am legion. And as the story unfolds, Jesus frees this man. He casts out the demons. This man has supernatural strength, by the way. That's another characteristic, unparalleled to any kind of human strength. And then the man is in his right mind. He's sitting clothed and he is confessing Christ and he's broken. So the interesting thing again is to identify, first of all, how someone could be demon possessed with those certain characteristics: supernatural power, isolated, infatuated by death, self-infliction. He was naked, as the Bible says, but he also had this spiritual overtone. So there's a combination of those things. Not to say that just pigeonholes those who are demon-possessed, but that's a good place to start. Now, just to say that if all mental illness is demon possession would be a wrong take on things, because again, you could have mental illness, you could have with blood testing and to identify if there's something chemically wrong with different medications and stuff like that, you can have that, you know, right mind, if you will. But I would say ultimately, above all that, do we believe that God can heal that? That God can, of course, the presence of Jesus Christ heal a person? Absolutely. So I would say the first part of that, to answer that, can someone be afflicted today? Absolutely. With those characteristics in Mark chapter 5 as reference, you can look there and find some more information. But that's a good place to start.
Yeah, and I like that a lot because, Jared, what that does is gives us some biblical guidelines to look for possession. And I also appreciate immensely that you know, distinguish between mental illness and possession.
Right.
A lot of people think they see someone walking down the street talking to themselves that this person's automatically possessed. That is not the case. There's chemical imbalances. There's different things that go into that person's life. Jared, if you recall, you and I, when we worked at Costa Mesa with Chuck Smith, we had someone, a friend of ours, brother, he came up, and he was trying to talk in all these voices and give us this type of stuff. And if you recall what I did, I just looked at him and I said, stop that. Just stop.
That's right, you did.
That's just goofy. You know, you're not scaring me. You're not doing any of that. And why? Because I think you and I could look at it and go, this isn't true possession. This is essentially him. There was a mental illness there. And because there wasn't any supernatural thing, he wasn't isolating. He was seeking help.
Amen.
He wasn't cutting himself. There weren't the other characteristics that we find. He was just someone who was struggling with some mental issues.
Yeah, and let me add this, too. When someone is demon-possessed, you're going to know it. Trust me.
Right.
I've encountered a few people who've been demon-possessed, and I would say, you know, I was in one country, actually. I was in a country, you know, India, and I was walking through this temple with a group of people, and it was nighttime, and interesting enough, this man comes running up to me and he is screaming at the top of his lungs, you know, just yelling, and we don't even know what he's saying. But then when I looked at him and I said, I just shouted Jesus' name. I was pretty young and I was on a mission trip, and I had just read that morning the power of Jesus' name. So I just said Jesus' name out loud because I was frightened, actually. And the guy turned around and he ran off. And I believe, again, with that discernment, being a believer myself, just with that discernment, the Holy Spirit showed me that that man was definitely demon-possessed. And did he have all those other characteristics? I don't know, because I haven't been around him, but I had that discernment. It was above and beyond what I had seen, whether regarding someone with mental illness. Now, guaranteed, there are certain
characteristics that you see in mental illness, of course, within a demon-possessed person. But with that supernatural strength, that disregard for self, and you know, just that infatuation with darkness, those are that's heading down a path. And you know, sometimes I think about even youth who are cutting themselves and are infatuated by death and darkness and that sort of thing. Is that demonic? It can be demonic. Doesn't mean that person's demon-possessed, though. Mm-hmm. It is heading down a road that is dark.
Yeah. Can we define this a little more? Because I know, let's be honest, not to make super light of it. However,
right.
People will say, oh, this is demonic. There's a demon behind everything.
Sure.
Now we're going to take him to this, like, psychiatrist dude with all these little radar things, and they're gonna boop, 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 and they're gonna try and pinpoint the demon that way.
Right.
They're gonna take him to the ghost hunters. The Ghostbusters are gonna be called in because yeah. they're listening to U2, and U2 is a demonic band.
Yeah.
Right now, Switchfoot is the demonic band of
yeah.
the day.
Yeah.
No, seriously, how do we define that?
I think. Go ahead, Brian.
I would say that, first of all, people can go to extremes on both sides.
Okay, good.
On one side, you could have people that really deny any kind of demonic influence, and you know, everything's just happy-go-lucky. And then on the other extreme, you have people that, like you said, under every rock, your dishwasher
man.
Goes out, there's a demon, so let's cast it out.
Well, those are gremlins.
And that's why, what do we have to do? We have to go back to the Bible, and we have to let the Bible lead.
Amen.
And that's why I think Jarrett's description in Mark 5
yeah.
is a very, very helpful tool for Christians to get hold of, because it gives some discreet and distinct
yeah.
Things to look for.
Yeah, I would add one other one, too, for those of you who are looking at this, because you can undermine it as well. I think the devil gets too much credit in the first place when something goes wrong. I think it could just be a simple trial and a test, you know, in the sense of just your Christian walk. So, but again, not to negate that, I think God is clear in Deuteronomy 18 as well. I'll read this one to you. It says, as God's speaking to the children of Israel, he says, there shall not be found among you anyone who makes his son or daughter pass through the fire, or practices witchcraft or sorcery, or interprets omens, or being a sorcerer, or who conjures up spells, or medium, or spiritist, or one who calls up the dead. For all these things are an abomination to the Lord, and because of these abominations, God will drive out those nations before you who are involved in these things. So, very clear, even going way back into Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 10 through 14, all the way into the New Testament, we see that. And even today, modernly, we can see where there are people who are demon-possessed that are involved in mediums, sorcery, witchcraft, spells, and yeah. those kinds of things. It's obvious that there is a real evil
yeah.
among us today.
And we could really keep going on
sure.
with this.
Yeah.
Let me throw out two resources. Thomas Ice, years ago, did a book called Spiritual Warfare. And then more recently, Mark Hitchcock has done a book on demon possession, spiritual warfare. And I would recommend our listeners to pick up some resources to study that, and or call 1-844-PARCHMENTS, 1-844-PARCHMENTS, and ask them about what resources are out there, 844-PARCHMENTS, and they will give you some resources, because I think the bottom line is we need to let Scripture lead, and we need to educate ourselves on how to approach this biblically.
Perfect. Speaking of approaching things biblically, we got another question that really, mm-hmm. I believe, really ties into this. You mentioned demon possession. Let's see, demon oppression, dark night of the soul, if you will. Maybe you're just going through something. And so someone presented another question on email form. If you would like to email us, by the mm-hmm. way, studio@mystaticradio.com. That's studio@mystaticradio.com. You're listening to Theology Thursday. Phone lines are also open if you have a question for Pastors Jarrett Pietro and Brian Nixon. It's 505-338-3700. And we got an email question that asks a similar question.
Mm-hmm.
What's the difference between self versus demonic possession? So the basic question is, what is temptation? What is temptation,
yeah.
and when is it self versus demonic?
Well, let me start with that.
I
think, and Brian can add to this, because, again, having a clear idea of what temptation is. First of all, the Bible is clear that as a believer, we can overcome temptation. And so in 1 Corinthians 10:13, it says, there is no new temptation that has overtaken you, such as common to man, but God has given us the ability to either bear up under it or to escape it. And then also in James 1:12, it says, blessed is the one who endures temptation, because when he has been approved, he shall receive the crown of life. But when you look at temptation, and those are two promises, by the way,
in James 1:12 and 1 Corinthians 10:13. But you go back again to the Gospels, like Luke chapter 4 and even Matthew chapter 4, a good example to look at how what temptation is and how to deal with it is the case with Jesus. He's up on a high mountain in Matthew chapter 4 and Luke chapter 4 as well, where Jesus is confronted by the devil. The question of what is temptation is, as the devil approaches Jesus, he basically tells him to turn a stone into bread. Jesus confronts it to be victorious over by quoting the Old Testament, the Word of God. We know the Word of God to be the sword of the Spirit. So Jesus even deals with spiritual warfare by quoting Scripture to defeat that. But the interesting thing is the underlining question, not just turning a rock into bread, but rather really questioning the provision of God. And so I look at that as a bigger question. The devil will always question God's provision. And then it continues on, and there's a few of them where God, you know, the devil's confronting God's protection. And so God's care for us and God's lovingness for us, his care for us. And so his provision and his protection. Going a step further back into time, even in Genesis, even at the tree with Adam and Eve, when the devil confronts Adam and Eve, that's a good example of what temptation can look like when it's given by the devil. So it's very clear, again, where God tells us to do something, we are obedient to that. But when the devil affronts that and he begins to deny the Word of God, questions the Word of God, that is when we know that that temptation is coming from the devil. One last one in 1 John 2:15, it says that we are not to have a chosen love for the things of the world, but rather to realize that we are tempted in the flesh by the eyes, by the lust of flesh, and by the pride of life. And so with those things, we're not to love the things of the world, because if it is in us, that sort of love for the things of the world and the pride of life and the denial of God's protection and doing it in our own work rather than his grace, then we turn into falling into that temptation.
Yeah, and I think, great answer, Jared. And I also think that the New Testament specifically defines three realms of influence and in, mm-hmm. in temptation. And there are multiple places in the New Testament that describes the world, the flesh, and the devil.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And sometimes it is our own flesh that has got us into trouble. Our own flesh, our own fleshly desires that have, true. We followed that line of temptation and it's turned into sin. Other times, it's the worldly pull. It's pulling us in by the world's system. And then other times, it truly is a satanic, demonic attack and confrontation. So Ephesians 2, verses 2 through 3 says, "You once walked following the course of this world, following the prince in the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom you were all, who we all once lived in the passions of our flesh." So what you get here is Paul throwing the world, the flesh, and the devil into one sentence. Other portions in John, they specifically spell out the world, the flesh, and the devil. And we have to keep a pure understanding of those three avenues that can influence us and really cause us to fall into temptation.
Excellent. I love that.
Yeah, absolutely. Speaking of falling into temptation, what it looks like, we've got a Facebook question. If you would like to ask a question, facebook.com/mystaticradio. Arrow on Facebook. What's he got
Arrow
over there?
Arrow says, "There are tons of films that portray demonic possession. I'm just wondering if there's any accurate description or representation on what a real demonic exorcism slash possession is like. Scary stuff, but it's so interesting and intriguing."
What's crazy, guys, is the first three questions all deal with spiritual warfare, demon possession.
Yeah.
There must be, I don't know, maybe there's a new movie out or something that has to deal with this, and so people are fascinated by it. But
sure.
Jarrett, tackle this one.
Yeah.
Well, I think, if I'm hearing the question right, when you think about just, is there real exorcism? Is it a possibility in that? And I believe there is. I mean, obviously, all through the Gospels, you see Jesus encountering demons and, even people who are demon-possessed, to a point where it just is the norm. And I believe because of the confrontation of the gospel incarnate, if you will, Jesus arriving on the scene, God in flesh, where, it's like all of the the evilness is just coming out forth from the world, almost like the like a zombie kind of thing. And I believe even as Jesus would tell his disciples, if you recall that he told his disciples as he sent them out by two, that they would have that power to cast out demons. I believe we also have that power as Christians in the sense that Christ has allowed us as his followers, as his disciples, to confront that in his power and his strength. If you remember, even Paul would pick this up later in Ephesians 6:10, where he talks about put on the whole armor of God that you may confront these things, that you may be able to stand. But the key there is that it's the strength of the Lord. It's not in our own power. If you're a demon hunter, if you're going out looking to exercise a demon, that's not what the Lord necessarily wants you to do. But the Lord has given us power. I think so often it can be around us where we could see that. It really just depends. I think oftentimes in a country or a place where the gospel's first being presented, you could have that face-on attack by demon possession, where you see it very clearly. You see it's distinguished. Whereas in a world like today, I think even America, there's such a subtlety and so much darkness around us that it's so infiltrated that it's hard to tell between light and dark. There's so much gray area around us. But not to negate that there is demon possession. The demons, obviously, as we're told, they haven't been judged yet. And they obviously are not judged in this world in the sense that they're not thrown into the abyss, which Christ promises. So they're out there. You know, It's like even the demons that were put into the swine that went off the cliff, as we read in Mark chapter 5. So I would say, you know what? Is it possible to exorcise demons? Absolutely, in the power of God's strength. Do we see it that often? I don't think we see it as often as we should, because there's levels of whether there's enough faith and all this kind of stuff I don't want to get into, but it's possible, of course.
And I think it comes back, Arrow. It goes back to looking for those indicators that Jarrett started off with. You know, true demon possession is going to involve this person isolating themselves, a supernatural power that's manifest in their person, infatuation with death, self-infliction. So when you're looking for these key characteristics, you could go, that really does look like it is true demon possession, as opposed to you know, maybe a mental illness. But then it comes back to, again, what Jarrett just explained, that you can have that person exercised. That if that person is confronted, and you know, there we do have biblical precedents for this, is what I'm saying. Not just with Jesus himself, but we have biblical precedents in other portions of the New Testament. So it would seem to indicate that if we look at the Bible, not only Jesus himself, but through the disciples and onward, that there is a case to be made that demon possession, A, happens, and B, they can be delivered from that.
I think the scary thing, though, is when you hear, like, recently there was a lady, I can't remember what state it was, but she's, like, gotten charged with she killed her two kids because she said they were demonically possessed.
Right.
And she killed them.
Right.
Yeah, you know? And here's the interesting thing. The world, talking about the world, the secular society, doesn't want to believe or admit that there's any type of demon possession because it is a scary thing to think about.
Yeah.
So I think whereas sometimes Christians will think that there's too much demon activity going on, the converse of that or the opposite of that is the world goes, oh, there's nothing. And so they will just always put mental illness on these type of things. But there truly are times when you meet an individual like Jarrett did, this person in India, where you're going, this is not human. This is not normal what is happening here.
Man, you know, Matt's been trying to exercise me with the cross.
No, that's two cross, different kind of exercise.
Exercise? Yeah. No, it's no. You know, using the cross.
There's a different
the power
bowel.
Of CrossFit compels you. No.
There's a story I remember. Dr. Walter Martin, who really set the standard for this type of radio broadcast. He was the original Bible Answer Man.
Yeah.
So Walter Martin fully believed in demon possession. And when people would call him up and say, you know, do you believe in demon possession? He would always go, well, of course I do. And then he would give stories of how he would go and actually be part of exorcisms. Interestingly enough, what did he do? One story I heard him say is he actually had a Roman Catholic friend, a really strong believing Roman Catholic friend, and he would get this guy, and the two of them would go and exorcise demons. And the Roman Catholic guy had the cross, and you know all the different stuff that we normally associate with exorcisms. But the reality is, this is a reality that is in our world today. And though we don't want to overemphasize it, like Jarrett said, we don't want to underemphasize it either. We don't want to discount it and say it's not real.
Yeah, and I even think on the other side of the spectrum, even thinking about demons, the interesting thing in all those cases, demons believe in God. Hmm. And just don't be fooled by that as well. James reminds us in James chapter 2 specifically about that. It's interesting. He says in James 2:19, "You believe that there is one God," he says, "you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble." So it's not even enough to believe that there's one God, because even demons believe that. It's defining who that God is. So, of course, at the name of Jesus and the power in Jesus' name, you don't hear people making fun of Buddhism or, Muhammad or whatever, but it's always cursing the name of Jesus, because there's power in that name. And the power of Jesus' name, there is one God, but it is who you define as that one God. Because even demons believe that there's a monotheistic, being, they believe in God. And so even demons tremble. So here's the thing. We do not need to be afraid of demons. Or even the enemy, for that matter. They work off of fear, and they want to remove us from our faith into a position of fear. And so with demon possession and all that, we do not need to be afraid of that whatsoever. We have the power in Jesus' name to cast that demon out. The Lord rebuke you. We don't put ourselves in place of that. We don't say, "I rebuke you," but we say, "The Lord rebuke you," just like it says in Jude and so forth throughout the scriptures.
I'm glad you bring that up, because we got an interesting correspondence yesterday from a listener who was listening to our show and chimed in on the show and said, "Hey, man, you need to stop saying this word. Because you guys use this word in your language, and everybody knows it's a euphemism for a four-letter word, and, when people say freaking or whatever it is," he was using one term specifically. Well, I'll be honest, I was irritated immediately, and was like, okay, you know what, I'm going to combat this, I'm going to pray about it, and then I'm going to go to Webster's Dictionary, and I'm going to find the real definition, and we're going to come back and talk about this. Well, it turns out he was actually correct on this one specific word. Hmm. It's not a word that we use, actually. However, we began a correspondence back and forth, and I could tell where this person was coming from, because I said I'd like to bring this up on Theology Thursday, and it really goes along with what we're talking about here, because he said, "Hey, thanks for the reply. For Theology Thursday, I'd like you to consider this." Mm-hmm. And then he gives me a quote. "The greatest cause of atheism in the world today is Christians who acknowledge Jesus with their lips, then walk out the door mm-hmm. and deny them by their lifestyle. This is what an unbelieving world finds simply unbelievable," end quote, DC Talk.
Mm-hmm.
Then he said, "Trying to be a part of culture to send a gospel message is a very thin line to walk." And this is what he wanted us to talk about. Now, a lot of times we do get these emails, whether it's the movies we watch, the music we listen to. Okay. Static Radio, I know we're very different. We play U2. We play the Foo Fighters. Right. We play Coldplay.
Sure.
And some would say, there's demons in that song.
Yeah.
Right now, Switchfoot is protested because
Switchfoot is not demon possessed.
There
Come
is
on.
A church in we Mississippi, the great state of Mississippi.
Look at the fruit.
Mateo's home state of Mississippi.
Okay, so yesterday we saw this thing about Switchfoot getting protested in Louisiana. And first I was like, yeah, Louisiana, a bunch of jerks. And then I went and read it, and I was like, okay, the jerks are from Mississippi. It's a guy that, we talked about it last week a little bit. We talked about our friend from Liberty University, John, asked about perfectionism.
Yeah.
So I go and I'm like, and it was so funny because the article says, "Who would protest Switchfoot?" And it's a quote unquote secular radio station. And it's like, Switchfoot, they're like the nicest dudes ever. They're professing Christians.
Yeah.
Why would anybody protest them? And it's like, oh, it's these people. And they linked it to this church. And it's definitely like a very perfectionist, they believe, because then I'm like, what do they believe? So I go to their website, and it's
man. Number one, I had to reload an old plugin because it was like the plugin the site uses does not function anymore. And I was like, oh. So I had to reload it.
Right.
And I'm just picking at them. But they had all these tabs about their beliefs. And I guess the pastor came to he came to salvation in this crazy, dramatic change. One of those where he was struggling with this, this, and this. And then when he got saved, he was immediately cured of all these things. No more temptation with that. And they are very, very much perfectionist theology. You get saved, and if you are not holy from there, from the get out, God doesn't hear you if you're not holy. All of this stuff in the world is tainted. And in 1999, he had gotten in touch with a radio station in Louisiana. Now, the funny thing is, it was a Christian radio station, and he was calling him out for not being Christian, for playing acts like Amy Grant, Bob Carlyle,
yeah,
DC Talk,
yeah,
Jackie Velasquez.
This is real.
Rich Mullins.
The list went on.
Mark Lowry.
Yeah.
I mean, you're talking the pinnacle of Christian. Michael W. Smith.
Yeah.
Stephen Curtis Chapman.
And these were
if
the artists
he heard
he was
our radio
at.
Station, he would probably...
He'd
kill
be here
us.
In a heartbeat. Yeah,
yeah, we'd be looking at him right now out in the skate park trying to. But the cool thing was John Foreman, he was totally took these guys water.
Yeah.
He told the crowd, he said, the only card we have to play in a situation like this is love.
Yeah.
So go out there and treat these people with love. Give them a hug. Find some coffee. Talk to them. Don't be mean. It was so cool.
Yeah.
Right.
His approach to it was.
Yeah.
The big question is this. Sorry. The big question is this. Because that aside, obviously that guy's crazy.
Yeah. You guys raised multiple issues question. Yeah.
So
multiple.
I don't want to get off on a tangent with that. What this emailer yesterday was saying is basically it's a very fine line being in culture and trying to share the word of God. I've been at places where people would say, just yesterday, we got a call going, wait, you guys reference Sons of Anarchy. That's an evil show. You guys watch this type of movie. That's terrible. Harry Potter was the big fixation for the church for a while because it was witchcraft.
Expelliarmus!
So how much of that is heavily influenced? Can we be oppressed, possessed
let me say this
by
first.
Our culture.
I'm going to take the stand of I can understand people who would look at it that they want to here's a balance. Those who would want to look at it as they just don't want that in their life, regardless of the banner of Christianity or not. And I would say good for them. You know, that's just maybe a walk of holiness. But the problem is so often when we're convicted, they say, as Paul talks about, the sins and weights that so easily ensnare us, it may not necessarily be a sin, but it could be a weight. And for that particular person, there is a drive to be holy, to for God to do that work. Unfortunately, that can spill over to other people. So I would say I could see why people do that. But
right.
On the other hand, the approach is twisted.
Yeah, yeah. And let me jump in and say that I agree, actually, with the person who emailed you, Steve-O, that there is a fine line.
Yeah.
There is caution that Christians need to take. Why? Going back to our original points we were making early in the broadcast, there is the lure of the world, and we can easily be pulled in the world's ways, the systems of the world, materialism, all these other things. There's also the pull of the flesh, the temptations that fall with that. And then, of course, the whole evil satanic element as well. But those aside, we still are to use culture to reach people for Christ.
Yeah.
Why? Because exactly. The Bible, specifically Paul, leads us to believe that. He modeled it for us. Mm-hmm. Paul, on Mars Hill, mm-hmm. models for us the use of culture to reach people for Christ. So if someone were to call up and say, why do you guys play U2? We are using culture to reach people for Christ. We are not using culture just for culture's sake.
Right.
We're using it as a means to dialogue, to talk about, to bring up issues that are important. And let's be honest, sometimes the quote-unquote world addresses an issue much better than those in the church. I could go back to the days of human rights and Amnesty International. The world was doing it so much better than the church. We kind of were Johnny come latelys where we said, oh, maybe we should think about this. I think about the sex slave thing today. Jarrett leaves next week to Thailand, where he's actually going to go and investigate what is going on in these the third world where there is sex slaves. But we were kind of late to that train as well. So culture sometimes can bring an issue up where Christians should be leading. So Paul on Mars Hill uses a poem, not a Old Testament poem, not a New Testament poem, because the New Testament was yet to be written, but he uses a poem from essentially Greek mythology to make a point. So that's exactly what we're doing. We're letting Paul and the Bible lead in our quest to use culture to discuss Christ.
Yeah,
that's
absolutely
excellent. Yeah.
I mean, that's what we do with Static Radio. That's what we talk about, the Areopagus, right? And why Paul did what he did. And
Theology Thursday, we're trying to answer questions and, just to be able to reach people with those.
And let me say, though, specifically about Mateo's thing, and I love what John Foreman did. And by the way, Jarrett and I do know John Foreman. Jarrett was just hanging out with him not too long ago because they opened up for us back in the day.
Boom. Hilarious.
Yeah, that is
name
it.
Dropper.
But I love what John Foreman said is the card we hold is love.
Yeah.
And though there are differing opinions and there's a whole range of ideas within the church, the one commonality that I think we all could appreciate is love. Yeah. So though we may not agree with their perfectionism, and which leads to legalism, we can say, you know what? We love you. We're praying for you. And by the way, a similar group to that, I have one up you on the Switchfoot.
Okay.
Do it.
Jarrett and I went to the Billy Graham Crusade back when I think it was in Oakland and San Francisco, and there were protesters protesting Billy Graham.
Yeah, this guy didn't like Billy Graham either. The thing about it was, and I felt so sorry because his stance on Christian rock, and it's a thesis.
Yeah.
And he's arguing with this essentially Steve-O's job at this Christian station. So if we put it here now, they would be arguing with Steve-O.
Right.
And in that, like, this dude wrote giant emails, phone conversation, transcribed all of them. He quoted so much scripture, all King James, of course, whatever. But it's, all of this stuff. And then the thing was, I felt so sorry for the radio guy because you can't argue with somebody like that. Even if that dude had solid points, which when he did answer him, he had a few solid points. The guy was like, you still haven't answered my question. What about the blah, 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 and this, and this, and this, and this, and this, and this? And you can't, at that point, you just have to say, look, man, we do not agree.
Phone lines immediately got jammed, and I'm assuming everybody wants to talk about this issue.
So let's go to one. Let's go to one.
All right. 505-338-3700, the phone number. Static.
Yeah, hi. I had a question just regarding the guys. Kind of like somewhat of what, the different topics you guys had.
Yeah.
One of the questions was just that, I guess one of my buddies, he's a good buddy of mine, and he ventured off into his own, pursuing his passion or whatnot, and he wanted to, this is going to probably sound like a stupid question, but I just really needed, I wanted to know your guys' input and intake on it as far as what you believe. And he was telling me, you were talking about being sucked in by the things of this world. And I remember he was like, he actually kind of brought me to Christ. And he's a good buddy of mine. And when he went on to pursue his passions and stuff, you make it, you meet certain people, you reach a certain set of, a financial group that's like just a different stature. Like, when you pursue different things, and whether it's music, Hollywood, whatever it is. But my question is, now his beliefs are all gone.
Okay.
As far as his whole demeanor about him has changed. Pretty much the way he says it is, there's no room for Jesus in the field he's in. And this is coming from someone that used to, that brought me to church, And so, I guess where it comes from, somebody was telling me, well, hey, man, he's like, have you ever heard of, those groups that are out there that are just not of God? And like he mentions, I don't know if you guys heard of it, but he said something about like the Illuminati and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I just needed to know, as far as for me, You know, he told me watch a documentary, and then he was telling me that Zeitgeist. There's a book
out there.
Was
it called Zeitgeist?
Tell him to get off Netflix.
No, it was by an Aleister Crowley or Crowley.
He leads the Satan Church, by the way.
He was like, dude, if you really want to understand stuff, he's like, read that book. And like, I haven't read it.
It sounds like your friend is. You know, he's either. You know, got in a bad place where, you know, he's allowed the world in somewhere that happened. It doesn't happen overnight. It happens over time. I don't know if it's possible for you to just send an email with his name to keep it private since we're on air to be able to do that. So we could be praying for him that he'd return to the Lord. And I would suggest, as it sounds like your heart goes out to him, that to make it clear, because I didn't necessarily hear your question on there, but I would say it sounds like your heart is, like, you know, grieved over where he's at. So let's be praying for him.
I think really the question that this gentleman is bringing up is he had a friend who was a committed Christian, and he has fallen, or what perceives to be, he's leaving the faith. Right. So I think the root of the question is, can a Christian fall away from the faith? And this is a heavily loaded question with opinions on both sides. Jared and I share the same position, and that is, if someone is truly a born-again believer, they know the Lord, they passionately pursue him, they will never fall from the grip or hand of God. They will preserve, if you will, to the end. And so we would say that if a Christian is truly saved, though they may sin, though they may fall, though there may be trials and tribulations in their life, ultimately they will be saved. However, there are some intriguing passages in Scripture that seem to show a different side. And the one, of course, Jared, you know I'm talking about, is in Hebrews.
Right.
And Hebrews, it is talking about, the writer of Hebrews is talking about this person who sounds like they're a Christian, who is acting like a Christian, who is saying things like a Christian, but then they fall away. And the writers of Hebrews essentially just says, this person is, you know, has left the faith. They have truly fallen away. But here's the bottom line. Though there's an open debate between can a Christian lose his salvation or can a Christian walk away from the faith, the issue is that as believers, why would we want to even tangle ourselves in something that would cause us to lead us away from the Lord? And I will say that there are many documentaries. There are many things out there that want to trip people up. And if you mention Aleister Crowley, I mean, this guy was the head of the Satanic Church. And if you're going to start listening to him and read what he has to say and watch his videos, his whole purpose in this world is to draw Christians away from the faith. So you have to, first of all, see where the root of these videos and things are coming from, but also know that this is the world's way of trying to pull Christians away, or even more specifically, Satan's way in the case of Crowley.
All right. Thank you so much for the call. Man, I hope that helps you. It does. It goes right along with what we're talking about, because as we talk about that fine line in culture, is there a clear-cut black-and-white definition of what we should or shouldn't be watching? This guy obviously started watching these stupid documentaries, and all of a sudden it's like, this is right!
Yeah.
This is what I want! So was it really this video doing that? Can Sons of Anarchy pull you away from God? Can Harry Potter make you a witch?
I love what Jared said. It takes time. This usually isn't just a one video and I've changed my mind. Yeah. Though that happens, usually it's a condition of the heart. The person is playing with things. They're playing with fire, if you will, and then they get burned, and then there's excuses made for why they were doing that, and it all compounds itself. But the point is, the person needs to hold on to the hem of Jesus.
Yeah. And I would even say, too, that the Lord does make it pretty black and white on very specific things. And I think when you follow that, that's already laid out, even as it goes into Romans chapter 2, talking about the conscience actually convicts us regarding the laws of God in that sense, there are black and white things very clear that God has spoken. And I think by obeying what is already listed in the Word, what happens is you begin to know the nature and character of God. So when you do watch a show,
yeah,
that you have this healthy conviction like, ah, this isn't good, you already know in your heart, like, ah, this part's not so good. You may like the theme and the title of the movie and the gist of it, but there are some parts where you go, you know what, that wasn't good. Because that's the Holy Spirit convicting you, your conscience even convicting you, saying this is not of the Lord. So I think there is a balance, if you will, as the Lord continues, you grow in the Lord. There are things that I did as an early Christian that I would never do now.
Right.
But God's grace is sufficient.
Yeah, and it's a sanctification process. You're growing into the conformity.
It's what I want to bring up right now. Let's talk to the person who is listening to this podcast, who is listening to Static
Excellent.
Radio, who maybe fell away, who is not in a place where they are... Man, screw going to church. They're just not even talking to God. They feel like they've gone too far.
Okay.
They grew up in a Christian home. Maybe they, for a season, like this guy's friend, were heavily involved, were sold out for the Lord, then got caught up in the wrong thing. And to the person that is there right now, because there's so many different conversations of, can you lose your salvation? Yes, you can. No, you can't. If you're in the wrong place, does God even hear you? Can you cry out from wherever you're at?
Yeah.
To that person right now who is ensnared in a sin, who is entangled, who is caught up, who has felt that tug, what do they do? Where do they go? And is there even hope for them?
Yeah, I would say just clearly what that person needs to do, first of all, is repent. They need to turn away from what is entangling them in sin or the ways of the world. They need to turn from that and then pursue Christ with everything they have. And what does that mean to pursue Christ? That means through prayer. That means through communion. That means through the reading of Scripture. That means through fellowship with other believers. There's some core things that usually are indicative of someone who's fallen away. They've left their prayer time. They've left reading the Bible. They've left the fellowship of believers. They've left the Lord's Supper. They've left these things. So they need to turn from what they're doing and then focus in on what is before them. And beyond that, they need to know that the Lord is a forgiving God.
Yeah. And I would even say, let's say you're the other person, and Brian, you're absolutely right on those who are in that place of teetering in the world and in need to repent. I would say for those, let's say you're on the floor and you can't even lift your head up and you're like, nothing's clear. It's all cloudy. I would say, if I was you, I would cry out to the Lord in the sense that, like, as you read in the Psalms, it's clear that there were times where you're incapable of even taking a next breath, and you're broken. And it sounds like you're heartbroken, and you're listening on a podcast, and you're like, I don't even want to go to church. But here's the thing. Look at Jesus. Look to Jesus. And even, I know from my own personal testimony, I got to a place I was, not too happy about the church and the religion that I came out of, but I wanted to know God. I even got to a point where I'm like, Lord, if you're real, and I know that sounds kind of cliche-ish, but I called out to God and said, God, if you're real, please reveal yourself. I need help. And like Peter, when he was sinking, it says in the Gospels that Peter, as one of the disciples, got out of the boat. He began to sink as he looked at the storm. And Jesus lifted him up out of that water. And I love that story because that's how I felt. Like, I couldn't even walk. I couldn't even get up out of my chair and even, come to the Lord, if you will. So I would say, start there. Cry out to God. God will meet you where you're at as you cry out to Him.
Amen. All right. I just wanted to make that.
That's great.
Yeah, and I'm glad that people are asking about
this.
Yeah,
so. Absolutely. It is Theology Thursday, and if you're just joining us, if you'd like to chime in on the conversation, if you would like to ask a question.
A lot of great questions.
Yeah, phone lines are jammed. We have a few minutes left to show.
Let's take a phone line.
Yeah, so, let's do a call.
Yeah, let's go to line two. What do we got?
Hello?
Hello.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good. How you
Great.
Doing?
Good. Real quick, I just wanted to applaud the last caller, for just checking in and making sure, what he was doing was right. I had a cousin who actually read the book he was referring to, and he was like, yeah, man, I wouldn't read it. It's scary, and it can cause some things that'll mess you up. So I really applaud that last caller.
Yeah.
My question is, though, being in the news recently and in a lot of other places, I'm sure you guys are aware of the Illuminati and some alleged satanic rituals, like at the Grammys and people like Katy Perry and Beyonce.
Yeah.
I have a two-part question. My question is, do you think they're doing it, like the music industry is doing it on purpose? And my second question is, do you think it's going to continue to get, you know, more obvious and more obvious, like how Katy Perry did that witch at the stake thing?
Yeah, let me say, first of all, like the Bilderberger Group and the Illuminati and all these different organizations, are they real? I believe that they are, in the sense that there are organizations that started early in America by these aristocrat kind of groups that want to, you know, dictate and do certain things. But I think, to the extent of that, anybody who is outside, you know, a relationship with the Lord, evil is present, regardless of it, you know, whether it's a worldly, just a fallen nature, or even satanic. I think, you know, what you see in the media is very intentional, in the sense that, you know, you have all that. But let me just say this. Let me warn you. With all the conspiracy theories and the stuff you watch on YouTube, and we have such a generation like that where we take truth from those things, I'd be very careful with those things. I would actually, if you want to find and look into more history, look and get some books that actually define this, because you can go to an extreme with that, like everything satanic, and they're doing a satanic ritual here and there. So you got to have a good balance and not just get your diet from YouTube and the Illuminati is going to take over the world.
Yeah, the bottom line with a lot of this, Illuminati, it really comes down to what we would call secret societies. Mm-hmm. Secret societies include the Masons. They include different types of sects. And all of these have a root, a basis that's very ancient, goes back many, many years, not just to America, goes to the Middle Ages and even previous to the Middle Ages, even to some Gnostic ideology, which is an early Christian cult. And all of these basically proclaim that they have this secret truth, this secret component that if you learn from them, they will teach you this and you will raise yourselves up into a sort of illuminated state. So whether it's the Masons and you hear I'm a 32nd Mason, or the Illuminati, this group that, you know, you learn, you're illuminated by these degrees of knowledge, be it even the Mormons, which interestingly enough, the early Mormons, Brigham Young, mm-hmm. Joseph Smith, were influenced by the Masonic traditions. All of these folks have a root in a Masonic, or what we would call a Gnostic, understanding of the Christian faith. They don't believe that the Christian faith is a one and for all, meaning you confess, you believe in Jesus Christ, and you're saved. They still believe that there's the secret knowledge that you must gain to become a illuminated person.
Ryan, speaking of that, let's say we want to just find resources. I know we're coming close to the end of the show, but like parchments, and just thinking, you know, what if someone wanted to find out just some information regarding this stuff?
Yeah, 1-844-PARCHMENTS. That's 1-844-PARCHMENTS. Call them, and there are great resources there. But there are many books that deal with secret societies out there. The Masons, the Masonic traditions, and so on and so forth. But Dr. Walt Martin, who we mentioned early, The Kingdom of the Cults.
Excellent book.
There's Ron Rhodes material out there. These are some of the authors that you could look up. Ron Rhodes and Walter Martin would be the people I would do. But 1-844-PARCHMENTS is where I'd go to.
There you go. That is Theology Thursday. Sorry if you were on hold and we couldn't get to you.
Sorry. We didn't even get to most of our topics.
We didn't.
No.
So we'll keep it going. It's ridiculous. I Googled Katy Perry Illuminati during that time and read about 1,000 articles on it, including one from GQ magazine. So obviously there's an obsession there right now.
There is. Well, the thing is, everybody wants to, like Phoenix was saying, everybody wants that secret. If there's a secret knowledge, everybody wants that knowledge. And then everybody wants to be like on top, especially in our fame-obsessed culture.
Yeah.
You want to be the man behind the curtain.
Gosh.
You know, so I believe we apply that to so many celebrities. I mean, Jay-Z, Beyonce, Katy Perry.
Yeah.
You just apply that to them. It's like, they're in on it. They're in on it. They're so successful. How could they not be in on it?
If you missed any part of Theology Thursday or your question was not asked, I promise we'll get to it. And you can also download the podcast, mystaticradio.com. We take email questions 24/7, so you can send us in an email, studio@mystaticradio.com. That's it for us.
Thank you, guys.
Middays with Mitch up next. Thank you, guys. You're amazing. I know you got to get out. We do, too.
We do, too.
We'll see you guys again manana for Team Awesome Morning Party.
Goodbye.
Static Radio.